Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I am your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't
you? For your transgression, you receive the atomic boot to the ass!
Thud!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Ha ha!
Hey, 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 king to fill the terrible and the knights of the round table.
We know it. She's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. whiskey and I own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, it's old King Shaziz the Terrible sitting around the round table with my honorable knights. We actually picked up a few more networks, that's cool, we'll talk about all that later. But anyway, we got a special guest, and we'd like to go around the table right there. Let my honorable knight Cultus, since he brought him here to join us, and we're honored to have him, let my honorable knight Cultus do the honors. How you doing there, brother?
Not too bad, mate. Yourself? You having a good week?
Oh, yeah, great.
Nice to wait. And yes, tonight I've brought along with me Mark Dancy.
Yay!
Someone who you've been waiting to speak to for a very long time, I believe.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. So how you doing there, Mark? There he is, fumbling with the microphone.
There he is.
It's good to have you here, brother. I sent a link into the chat room, one of them anyway. Yeah, there's many chat rooms going on out there right now, so whoever's got that link, send it around to everybody else so they can check out his website there. Don't everybody talk at once.
Oh, I see it there. I had to scroll down.
I was just wondering about one thing. I'm not so honorable, so I feel privileged to so many honorable people.
Hey, you're sitting at the table. You're honorable.
Does that give me a free drink?
Yeah. Cultus, send one over to him. It might be cold by the time it gets there from Australia. So, during the break, we were talking about all kinds of things. One of the things that we were talking about was the upcoming Pop Pop Build-Off contest that we got going on. And I was saying that it's even though the Pop Pop boat is a simple concept, a little steam boat, so to speak, you know, a little candle goes under a boiler and gets the thing to run around in the water, I believe that bringing all these individuals together from all over the country, all over the world, so to speak, we can take that one little basic concept and build on it. What do you guys think?
I certainly. There's a lot that can come out of this. Go, Mark.
I think it's genius. Having seen the was it Pulse or the Pulse Motor build off for a couple of years. The inspiration, seeing people's imaginations and people triggering other people's imaginations and the solutions they come up with, you can't help but be inspired. And, you know, one of the great things Einstein did was he could constantly keep redesigning.
Oh, we lost him there.
Little spike again.
Yeah, just for our listeners out there, Mark's actually in the Philippines. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
I'm just saying, Einstein spent a lot of his time redesigning the pop gun, so I think this is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun as kids with them little pop guns. Yes, my brothers, they've been shot with a few of them.
Go ahead.
About that. Mark, you was talking about how over in the Philippines you're noticing that there's a lot of ingenuity going on over there. Would you like to talk about that?
Yes, so a lot of things I've been over here for 6 months on this trip now. I'm due in Thailand in a couple of weeks. But two things. Something that surprised me. The first thing was the electricity grid here. They're moving away from diesel or coal. They're actually going to be, they feel, 100% renewable energy within 10 years. They're putting windmills, solar, and geothermal. They're blessed with a lot of geothermal resources. So I think, well, if this country can do it, surely some of the others can do it. Then I'm reading an article in today in Shanghai, and they've had to shut down the city, basically, because the pollution's that thick, you can't even see the top of the building next to you. They're choking to death. It's got 20 times the pollution level because of coal-fired stations. But the ingenuity over here is great. There's one thing. These people find ways to solve things. And I'll give you a couple of examples here. One of the things is putting a Coke bottle with a bit of bleach and water in your ceiling for a daylight or soft drink bottle. I shouldn't say Coke. But they put that, and it really makes a huge difference. It lights up these little huts and that, and there's over a million of those going in.
I've seen that particular video, something similar to that, but they were using like some clear vegetable oil or something like that, and it refracted really good light inside that building.
I was going to say, the most important thing I think that most of the people I've heard talking about that were, the misconception was that they thought the bleach somehow helped the light, and that's not the purpose. The bleach is just to keep anything from growing in there.
Ah,
that way it stays nice and clear,
correct,
and the light can come through.
That's correct.
That's a good idea.
I met some inventors over here, and they're just brilliant. They're building very low-tech, like water wheels, hydroelectricity systems. One was a land-based tidal power system, and I'm going to write a story about that. I sat and read two of his books he'd written, and I'm going, wow, this is so cool. And they're really coming up with some stuff that I think could really show the rest of the world some tricks to do. But what I really love here is the independence. They have nothing, but what they do with their resources is great. You know, I'm reading in the US an article I linked to yesterday where people getting jailed for collecting rainwater because it's illegal. And the other one was they're finding new ways to tax free energy. So they're attacking solar now, like, oh, how dare you people, they're calling the Free Rider Acts, and there's going to be all this legislation attacking people who want, you know, who want to use the sun to generate electricity and still be part of the grid. and they're going to attack them. But when I read that people go to jail for collecting, and I found out in Utah, even if you collect a drum of water off your roof, you actually technically could go to jail. So I'm just amazed at the difference in the two countries and their approach.
Well, it's funny you was talking about that. We just talked something about that on there yesterday because of I'm not a believer in global warming, and anybody who knows me knows that I'll argue the basic science with them over that. But either way, you know, I'm not anti-environment. I believe we got to protect our environment. However, they go about it the wrong way. And here you got a government agency all over the world who claim to care about the environment, but yet all these technologies that we've just discussed, they haven't looked into none of them. You know, it doesn't take 20 or 30 years to solve the so-called energy crisis. We've got better fuels than all the fuels that are being used, and they do pollute. I mean, you look at the catalytic converter on the car. That's nothing more than a reburner. So it's reburning excess fuel that comes through the intake system that doesn't get burned up in the combustion portion of it. And so there's a whole lot of waste going on there. You know what I'm saying? If you can figure out how to clean the exhaust out of the vehicle by reburning waste fuel, why don't you just start from the beginning and make that thing to where there is no waste fuel? You see where I'm coming from?
Right.
Yeah, you're correct. I was fortunate last year to spend somebody else's money, a couple hundred thousand, working in engine labs, testing all the different systems to make that fuel burn cleaner. And it was quite amazing the results we got. We did in hydrogen, water, alcohol, a whole lot of different stuff, and we were able to get up to 99.9% of the fuel burnt and clear out a lot of the emissions. Well, can't get rid of the CO2, but we could get rid of a lot of the other stuff.
Well, and that's the key.
The CO2 will just be consumed by the plants out there too. The more you put out, the more plants will actually prosper, and they'll just break that back down and turn it into sugar.
Yeah, but see, the problem is,
I agree.
The basic misnomer of that whole deal is cars do not put out carbon dioxide. They put out carbon monoxide, which is one oxygen atom connected to one carbon atom. And it's dangerous to us because... Yeah, it's dangerous to us because it can actually fit down in the respiratory system and give you carbon poisoning. So, with that said, plants still like it. But back to the whole getting it efficient from the get-go... You know, if you take that fuel and instead of spraying it in a jet, you spray it in a super fine mist, number one, it's going to be more powerful, and you're going to burn more of it, and you will have less waste coming out the other end. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, there's two ways you can do it. It's interesting you say that. One, inject hydrogen, we're able to eliminate 99% of carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is actually a fuel, and if you can get it to ignite, it burns, and it's very powerful. That's why we're getting horsepower increases. The second one, which is the most intriguing, is they're putting magnetic or electronic fields now around the combustion chamber, especially even power station side, and by doing that, it is sort of creating a... I can't really go into the science right now, I can't remember the article, but... They're actually using electric field now to promote 100% combustion, and they're eliminating 100% of carbon monoxide. And the other thing that gets pissed out of the exhaust pipe is hydrocarbons. That's the unburnt fuel. And they're able to 100% get rid of that, and they're getting up to a 30% increase on efficiency and eliminating, I agree with you, carbon dioxide's great for the plants. I don't care about global warming. However, I do care about carbon monoxide. And
yeah.
I do care about hydrocarbons. They kill you.
Well, one thing that seems to be a misnomer, too, is that everybody seems to look at burning an element as being strictly and completely separate from the electrical fields that the atoms have, the electricity in their wires. And the action of combustion is actually a lot of electrical transfer where you're getting electrons to share between two atoms to form those molecules that... are formed from the burn.
Well, and
so that electric field makes a lot of sense.
And one of the things that has to do with what you just said is that back in the old days, the farmers used to get their tractors up to operating temperature and then begin to inject in water. So they were doing hydrogen back in them days, and you know, it's something that you don't hear about nowadays. So what would be the difference of taking like a newer system and, you know, starting it off with the fuel to get the temperature up, then shutting the fuel off and then injecting water directly into the deal? I don't see that there would be any problems doing it at all. What do you think?
I think the water thing, most of the water is actually over compression, because water can't be compressed, whereas all the other gases that are going in there can be compressed back down into a liquid. So
yeah,
it's a lot harder to compress, so you get a lot more bang when it does explode.
I understand what you're saying.
It basically makes your chamber smaller. So.
But the heat of that piston is such that as soon as the water comes in there in a fine mist, it instantly turns to steam and is ignited. And so they were actually able to run tractors. And if anybody out there knows about a tractor, tractors have to have a whole lot of torque to do what they do. And so,
right.
You know, they were doing this back in, you know, the 30s and the 40s and stuff like that in the 50s. So why couldn't they do it now?
They do. They go to snow systems. They do water injection. We're testing his systems. They use it. We're mixing water with alcohol, injecting it in diesels, and in some cases increasing the horsepower by 50%. Water by itself, though, will not increase the energy a great deal. It will lower what they call the EGTs, exhaust gas temperatures, down a bit. It makes the combustion colder, but if you put too much water in there, you'll kill the flame.
Yeah.
You'll actually kill the flame. And that's
right.
You've got to find the right balance. What it does do, though, and somebody picked up on this before, it absorbs the heat from the surrounding cylinders, turns it into steam, and you do use some of that latent heat, if you like, or that wasted heat, not latent heat, that's wasted, and you can turn that into an expanding gas. So that's how it works. But as soon as you put a fraction too much in...
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. But either way, that's just one of the little basic examples of technology that could be used. It isn't being used. And here we got back again to the main point, is these guys out here have been talking about the whole man-made climate change, want to charge a carbon tax, which is essentially a tax to breathe, and, you know, haven't done nothing. You know, what have they done? Seriously, the same people that argue about global warming are out there still flying around in corporate jets and limousines. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I was going to say, that money sitting around in those bank accounts that they're collecting from people is sure going to clean the air, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not going to do no good.
Right.
But, you know, I love when I hear stories about the Philippines. I got to go to the Philippines once, by the way. I was down in Longapo City in Barrio, down by the Navy base. It's really nice over there. If anybody ever gets a chance to go over there and check out the Philippines, be nice to those folks, because they're really good people. Anyway, what I liked about what you was talking about earlier was, you know, they're poor over there, but yet they find ways to be really ingenuitive, you know. And that's what we need to do to get people out here. You know, everybody's under the thumb of the power company, the fuel companies, and all that kind of stuff. A little bit of creativity. Now you got a car that you can run on water, you know. Just don't try to sell it, because somebody will try to do you in, you know.
Well, I'm not going to agree on that one, because I investigate those things. But you are right. The ingenuities here, there is a lot of... they make a lot of resources go a long way. In fact, I was just before the show, I was talking to a friend in the US about some solar systems for here. And he says, what's your average consumption over there? I said, 2 kilowatts per day per hut. And he said, fell off his chair and said, well, I can't get by about 30 kilowatts. I said, these people are happier than you, and they've only got 2 kilowatts. So
yep.
Go figure.
Well, that's pretty cool, man. You know, like I said, though, the technology is out there, has been out there, and people in the alternative energy communities bringing it back to light. You know, there's so many amazing things that's been around for such a long time. Mark, have you ever heard of the Mercury Arc rectifier?
Yes, but I will confess I know very little about it. I've heard of it. And,
well,
you know, somewhere down the track I read about it.
Essentially,
but I'm not an expert. Fill me in.
Essentially, when Edison and Tesla had their little feud over the whole AC to DC deal going on, of course, obviously, Tesla won out for AC current, and so AC current's the standard nowadays. But what was the problem was a lot of the elevators and things like that were running off of DC motors that were set up during Edison's time. And so they needed a way to convert the high voltage AC into high voltage DC to still run these DC electric motors. So what they did was they designed the mercury arc rectifier, which is simply was like a, it looks like a glass octopus, has anodes and cathodes on it, and it has a little pool of mercury down in the bottom of it. And when you shoot the high voltage AC in through that little pool of mercury, it causes the mercury to heat up and vaporize, and then high voltage AC turns that mercury vapor into a plasma. And so now you're building up a massive amount of energy up inside this glass octopus, and it comes out the other side as high voltage DC, because there's so much pressure of energy inside that mercury arc rectifier that the electricity can only flow in one direction, which essentially made the mercury arc rectifier the very first diode ever created. And it's an amazing thing, because essentially what they had back in them days was the equivalence of a plasma reactor. They knew it was a diode, essentially, that it, you know, basically rectified the AC to DC, but they didn't realize the full potential of what that reactor was capable of doing. Pretty cool stuff. Don't everybody jump at once.
We'll give him Mark the opportunity to jump in, but I think he's having a lag spike.
Yeah.
No, I did. I just missed the last bit of that. But, no, I love reading up on Tesla and his technology. But some people misinterpret what he had. But, no, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. One of the things I mentioned before we come on air, one of my little projects I'm working on, I travel the world quite a bit evaluating different energy claims, and I've seen different countries, different things, and a lot of them doesn't work out, and some do. But the one thing I'm working on now is simple solutions to the problem that 1.6 billion people don't have electricity or lighting in the world, and they're using kerosene. And I'm not worried about the CO2, but it's killing them. They're getting burnt, they're getting really bad respiratory diseases. Tuberculosis is 10 times higher. So finding solutions for these people. There's 600 million people without ability to charge cell phones. It's crazy.
I'm not interested in taking any kind of funds for the developments that I'm working on now, because if I can't do it for, like, you know, a shoestring budget so that everybody else can do it the same way, I'm not really that interested in the technology. I'd rather work on something that everybody can have.
Well,
yes,
there you go.
Yes, you hit the nail on the head.
So
that's why 90%. That's why 90% of my lab is nothing but recycled stuff that, you know, people either throw it away or donated, because for the same reason like you're talking about, is I want, if I can build this out of junk and it works, then your average Joe can build it out of junk. You know, I've turned microwave oven transformers into, you know, separate U-shape coils, and was able to build generators out of those as well. I mean, inside of every microwave is a couple magnets. So, you know, there's a resource for magnets and coil material. Plus, you know, there's so many different appliances out there that you can actually get things out of. The direct drive washing machine motors, those are already a ready-built generator. You know, if you can get a hold of one of those, they call them direct drive or smart drive washing machines, they have a built-in stator motor inside there that you can throw up and make a wind turbine and put you a bridge rectifier on it, and you can charge batteries, DC batteries, with right out of the gate without any modifications. And there's other things out there like the Bueller motor that's in Epson printers that you can get those out, and you can build turbines out of those as well. They're built, ready-built generators. So little ideas like that, and finding all these little pieces that you can salvage out of things that people are throwing off in the dump, you know, this is what I'm talking about. What do you think?
Yeah, even if you're in Australia and you find a treadmill on the side of the road, you ain't going to have to worry about that magnet law you got.
Well, let's say the big thing about that, though, is that you're finding all that rubbish because you're in a highly technologically advanced society that's throwing away old tech in places like he's talking about, they don't really have that sort of resource, apparently. I'm guessing being generated to where they can go and filch it.
Well, it's going to be up to guys like us. Like, I'm getting ready to ship over to Cultus some neon sign transformers for his experiment, and he's in Australia, so if anybody out there needs something that maybe one of us can get a hold of, we just ship it to him. That's, you know, that's the whole reasoning for behind the networking.
The networking, yeah, the networking is essential. A lot of the stuff I'm working with right now, though, I'm refusing buying the chemicals and just making them myself. Like the crystal batteries, I'm making water glass by breaking down salt and making lime chlorine gas using a battery and just, you know, some things that basically anybody anywhere can cobble together to build a membrane cell. And then you use the lye to basically dissolve anything that has silica in it. It could be sandstone or a glass bottle or whatever, and you make your water glass out of that. From that, you can make quartz.
And don't underestimate the earth battery as well, because, you know, they could do that over there too. I mean, you can get electricity right out of the dirt. Now, granted, it's a little bit more difficult to get enough energy to do, you know, such as running your house and all that kind of stuff. But it would have to be a step-up procedure, so to speak.
Right. Well, the process I'm working on is actually an attempt to create power without destroying your electrodes, because that's what essentially is the problem with a battery, is that the metal takes energy to refine it, and then you turn around and unrefine it whenever you put it in the battery and run the battery. So then it has to be reprocessed to get rid of those contaminants to make that metal pure again to make another battery. Well, so if we can get away from breaking the metal down while we're producing power, we've got a continuous source.
Earlier,
it's still a source.
I agree with you on that. What I worked on at Utah in a lab, we actually worked on material generators or solid state generators. So we'd create a material, pull it, and then it would forever put out some electricity, but there are only very, very small amount of power we could achieve. But I know somebody at the moment who's been able to develop a material, and he's been putting out half a watt for months on end without any decay. And I'm really looking at material science to do that. But getting back to your battery, the one we've come up with a solution here, it's about economics as well. And batteries cost a lot of money over here. Just, you know, they don't have electricity. Most of the neighbours, I'm looking out at my local neighbourhood jungle here, and there's only a few kerosene lights burning tonight. They don't have electricity, full stop. So they're spending a fortune in kerosene. It can take up to 20-30% of their weight.
Well, he dropped out there for a second. If you can't do the battery thing, you could also go you could always go the capacitor route, because capacitors can actually be used as a battery. Now, granted, you'll have to have
How do you charge it? There's no electricity to start with.
Well,
you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I understand.
That is a question. You need magnets or something to produce electricity in the first place, but that's if you're not using piezo elements to produce power and whatnot.
Well, I've been...
Do they have carbon mines there, or graphite mines, like they have in Sprite?
No, but what we've come up with, we're using a... And it's only a temporary thing, you're right. We're using a consumable. The cathode doesn't get consumed. But the anode does, but the cost of one anode is equivalent to 100 batteries. So all of a sudden we can provide, and it lasts a long time, so if you've got a flashlight or a radio or something, it will run for about 1,000 hours before you have to replace, you know, a couple of A-size, double A-size battery-type anodes. It's not battery, but we replace the metal. And the reason we did that was the metal is very widely available, very safe, but it does one problem. That solves a big problem. Rather than 70 billion litres of kerosene being burnt a year, we can cut the running costs down to 5% of what the kerosene costs, and one of our same size as a battery, anodes, will be equivalent to 100 batteries. So we can run a light for 1,000 hours, or we can run a radio. I've got a radio here that's been running for close to 2,000 hours, I think. So you can actually get this low-tech technology, if you like. It's using salt water, but we're also using some very high-tech technology that was pulled out of the military. and then we're using a basic metal. But I have...
We lost him again. Before he gets back, I've been charging my capacitors. I've been charging my capacitors with my Earth battery, which is essentially one copper-coated ground rod and one zinc ground rod. So you get some galvanic action going on there, plus you get the chemistry, whatever chemistry is in your dirt. And so if you've got some really acidic soil, then that's a great place to put your battery at, your Earth battery.
What happens to those metal rods, though? Did they ever get all oxidized and ruined? I mean, do you have to clean them off?
Well, I'm sure eventually they will, but they're so thick that you got a long time before you're ever going to have to replace those rods. Mine's been in there for over a year, and they're still good.
Yeah, have you been able to hook them up to get more voltage?
What'd you say?
Have you been able to hook them up in series to generate more voltage?
Well, yeah, you can hook them up in series. Mostly, I just have the... I got four of them out there right now, and they're running series, but they're running from there, run into the capacitor in parallel. And so I can get this capacitor to stay at the very least 0.70 volts of electricity without doing anything, without adding anything to it. But I also took and I put in line after a while some nickel hydride batteries. I put them in series with the whole system to kind of... It's like nature always tries to balance itself out. You know, like water will always try to find its level. Water will always find its level. And so the same thing. You've got two nickel hydride batteries. One of them may be at 4 volts and one of them may be at 5 volts. Nature's going to try to balance that out. In the process of balancing that out going through the Earth battery, it charges that capacitor up faster.
Yep. Have you used a jewel ring or anything like that to try to increase the potential?
No, I've been meaning to do that, but there's also little DC amplifier circuits that you can get as well. They're not like the Jewel Thief or anything like that.
Buck converter.
Yeah. And
right.
So most of my work goes into the plasma reactor and projects like that, but I need to get back to that Earth battery.
Yeah, one of the things you'll find is the metal. There is formulas you can use because they use a lot of these metals for galvanic reactions, like to protect metals on ships and that. That the metal we're using at the moment is we get roughly for 1 gram of metal 1 watt of energy. And even though, like you said, you got kilograms of it shoved in the ground or pounds of it, it's going to last forever if you're only drawing half a watt. But there is a consumable rate you can measure, and you just look up the charts, and there it is. So if this metal, you get 1 watt per gram, you can work out the maths. But I'm with whoever's talking. I missed that before. Yes, work on the ones where you don't need a consumable. That's where we all want to be heading. Whatever means,
say,
you can
about
do that.
That the battery stuff you're talking about, are you guys using any kind of like a blocker? Like graphitic carbon nitride basically is a nitrogen atom that's trying to bond to the oxygen that's in water, so it breaks the water apart. And the carbon that's saturated around it, it doesn't stop the attraction of the nitrogen to the oxygen, but it does stop the bonding action so the oxygen can still be retrieved from the graphitic carbon nitride. And from what I've been looking at, basically the sunlight is just there to keep knocking it off of the graphitic carbon nitride so it doesn't build up. That way it can keep doing its job to keep breaking the water down. So I'm wondering if something like that maybe could be done to get the galvanic reaction that you would expect from the metals without the metal itself actually bonding to the element that normally it corrodes and you know is destroyed by it, so that way you can just keep using it.
Sounds like a good plan. The ideas are definitely there. I went to the store and bought some seltzer water. You know what that is? Like they put in soda?
Mm-hmm.
I've been using that in my hydrogen cell because you don't have to add anything to it. You can just use that seltzer water right directly out of the gate for your doggone hydrogen cell. I mean, it's got just a tiny bit of carbon in there enough to make the water conductive. And it has a really good explosive reaction at the end of the whole deal that you could use to actually run a doggone lawnmower motor, you know, turn a generator head.
Hmm. Well, that puts up a concern to me. Basically, you know, we heard about that Chantilly's gas where he's got two carbon rods underwater and running up to about 36 volts worth of car batteries in series and make the arc, and it puts out a lot of gas. But here's what he says about it, if I can remember this correctly. He says, the gas that comes off has carbon monoxide in it. And I'm thinking about yours having more carbon. Yeah, you might be making some carbon monoxide too. But the arc makes carbon monoxide as well as the hydrogen. But the thing is when they burn it, for some reason, what the output isn't water, it's just basically more oxygen. And it's not poisonous to you then. As soon as you burn it, as soon as you burn it, there's no carbon monoxide or nothing, just more oxygen. He says you can burn it in the house.
It sounds like the carbon monoxide is getting used up then and turning into something that doesn't come out as a gas, like maybe it's depositing somewhere.
Right.
Or it's going back into the solution, so.
Well, yeah, my point is basically, seeing as you're working with carbonated water and you add more carbon to it, kind of be careful of breathing too much of the gas before it's burned.
Well, I'm not adding anything to it. I'm just using it straight out of the bottle, just regular seltzer water, and it works better in my hydrogen cell than anything else that I've tried. You know, like normally if you get a hydrogen cell, you try to put in a little baking soda or something that's going to make the water a little more conductive, and you don't have to do that with this. You can just pour it straight in. So with that said, it's just another idea to put out there on the table. I mean, I understand if we're going to get people in all these different nations that don't have access to being able to scavenge through junk or whatever, we're going to have to find some junk to send to them, you know?
we'll find a way to use the resources around them. I mean, the ocean water has a ton of magnesium sulfate in it. That's apparently the primary reason why sonar is the only thing that really penetrates through it properly. Everything else is absorbed and turned into heat.
Yeah, we use salt water in our cell, but the water's really there for waste management than anything else. We're sort of, when I say it's a battery, it's not really a battery, but the details will be out there soon enough. However, you talk about resource. Well, one problem they have in these island nations is a litter problem. And they built a mountain called Smoky Mountain out of plastic bags, and it was always continuously smoking. There's a fire there somewhere for years. Mm-hmm. But what they're doing now, they're turning the plastic into fuel.
There you go.
And I hope somebody comes... yeah, into oil. It's very easy to do. You just put it into a heater without any oxygen present. They heat it up to a certain temperature, and then they bubble the gas. They're getting like a syngas out of it, and they're bubbling it through the water, and they can, depending on how they crank it up, they can get anything from kerosene to diesel to gasoline. And there's a little place there at the moment in the Manila there. They're doing about 5 ton a day. And for every, I'll talk kilograms, for every kilogram of plastic, they're getting 850 grams of fuel, which is quite a high conversion.
Well, and that's probably because they have a high concentration of polyethylene in that, because it's the most efficient plastic. That's part of the idea I had of turning kudzu into crude oil.
Competition after your pop is to build a very low-cost one, like a really low-cost one that's only going to cost them $100, like a, you know, a bit like a pressure cooker with, you know, they've just got to get it heated up to a certain temperature and then bubble the gas through, but they can't have any oxygen in there. That's all the process is. And I'd like to see one where the locals can get it, because there is a big litter problem here. Everywhere I go, there's plastic bloody bags blowing around. And you'd soon get the local kids to gather all the plastic if you gave them a few pesos. So that's one thing I want to see develop, is a very low-cost one. You can buy the machines from China, or you can buy, you know, ones for tens of thousands of dollars. But I'd like to see one. I've seen a few home-brewed ones, but get one out there, because these people can make their own fuel, and they can use plastic, they can use rubber, and they can use a few other materials that are natural.
We've been looking at that same idea, too, for extraction of the plastic from the ocean so we can clean the ocean up. and get something useful out of it, so it pays for itself. The term you're looking for, by the way, is thermal depolymerization.
Yep.
Well, you know...
Anyone who wants to look that up,
thanks, Tom.
It's funny
that
we're talking...
the actual correct term, I'm looking down for that.
Oh, yeah, no, you don't have to, mate. It's bloody Tom. Encyclopedia Britannica 2014 version here, mate.
It's funny.
He knows what he's talking about.
It's funny we're talking about all the waste that's in the world, because in nature there is no such thing as waste. Nature takes back whatever it is you don't use. You know, I've heard all kinds of stories how plastic will last in the landfills for thousands and thousands of years, but... kind of disagree a bit on that one, but either way, it's still a resource out there. I mean, and it's abundant too, because especially over here in America, people in America generate a lot of trash. You know, companies generate a lot of trash. Now,
it's an over-unity of trash.
Here we got the governments all over the world that profess to want to clean up the environment, but they're overlooking one of the massive resources of the world is trash. I mean, we got lots of trash. And so, you know,
I don't think they're overlooking it. I think somebody is just being lazy, because the efficiency you mentioned of the environment, where it takes one thing to make something else, and the waste product of it it uses to make something else to get back to the original source of material, is exactly the model they use for refining oil. That's how they can get away with turning it into so much useful material, and they're not just, you know, burning it all up in order to refine that oil. They use all sorts of things like zeolites and whatnot to basically molecularly assemble things with almost no energy.
But see, corporations...
That comes from nature. It's all from nature.
Corporations don't want you knowing this kind of stuff. They want you talking about this kind of stuff. You think the fuel company wants you to come out with a carburetor that will give you a couple hundred miles to the gallon as opposed to maybe 26 miles to the gallon? You know, like I said before...
Anyone who wants to contest that, too, ask the people at Coca-Cola for their recipe.
Yeah, well...
And you see how quickly they don't want any competition and won't release that, you know?
You can't sell drugs if there ain't nobody sick. You can't sell bullets if there ain't nobody fighting. And so with that said, you know, it's a money-making business. The military-industrial complexes all the way through to all the power companies of the world and the governments themselves, you know? There's so much money changing hands at any given second into the congressman and the senator's pocket or the parliament or whatever part you got at your local vicinity. But it's going to take us, the average Joe, to find these ideas such as what we're talking about to, you know, do anything about it. You know, you're not going to stop.
Make them transparent.
Yeah.
Make them transparent.
You're not going to...
That's American.
You're not going to stop the machine that is the beast that's eating us alive until you start hitting them where it hurts, and that's in the wallet, you know?
Right. Well, the education is necessary, too, because a lot of the stuff we attribute to being evil when it comes to these politicians and whatnot and the corporations, it's actually just because they're ignorant of what they're doing.
They
don't really know. They're only concerned about one thing, and, you know, that's it.
Al Gore.
They missed the other 99 things.
You're in the USA, right? You've got to get out sometimes, because the rest of the world is doing something. They are building massive, great trash-burning generators in South America and Europe and in Asia. But here's the other thing they're doing. They're doing real research. The Chinese have got one company of 750 scientists, 150 PhDs working on thorium reactors. India will be 30% thorium reactor powered by 2030. The rest of the world are looking for other solutions. They're looking for safe, whether it be safe nuclear, whether it be solar. Even Australia, my home country, my home state, where our good friend noble man is staying there at the moment, there are one in five households has solar now. 30% is wind powered on a good windy day. So the rest of the world is doing it. Like I said, the Philippines are going to be 100% thermoelectric. And here's the good news. Coal's out. They're shutting down coal-fired power plants, even in the US. They're stopping building coal mines. They're stopping investing. Banks won't lend money on it anymore. And even China now has capped coal when they suddenly started choking the other day.
Yeah.
So things are changing. It's just in the US they're not. The US is going the opposite direction to the rest of the world. The US is looking at taxing people with energy independence. They're taxing your rainwater or going to throw you in jail. You know, you already got five times incarceration rate. The rest of the world is putting incentives there. Germany, well, Australia, the electric car is taking off. Here in the Philippines, it...
Then we need to give the
atomic... lots of lag spikes.
We need to give the atomic boot to the American people and get them off their couches so that we can get some of this stuff going on.
Well, yeah. That ain't the American people. That's the American government.
Let's give the atomic boot to the ass of the politicians out there and the corporations and just do it. Don't ask for permission. Just do it. That's what I'm doing. You know, I'm not asking for permission to do my experiments, and neither are you guys. We just got to get that mindset out there.
I'll say one thing is essential. If you do things underground before they're illegal, they will never become illegal.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
They got to know before they can make it illegal.
Yeah.
So, I think we're on the right track, man.
As many people as I can possibly teach, you know, how to make them wind turbines for cheap. Because what you're getting from industry, man, is just another one of those scams. I mean, like I was saying before, they say a 1.5 kilowatt wind turbine. That's in 36 mile an hour wind. That's where they rate it. And if the wind power goes up by a factor of 8 every time the wind doubles, well, it works the same way in reverse. So let's see, 36 miles an hour, 1.6 kilowatts, let's call it that. And we drop down to 18 miles per hour wind. What do we got? 200 watts. Okay, that's almost 20 mile an hour wind, though. Well, let's get down to about 10 miles an hour. What do you have now? One-eighth of that is 25 watts, Bubba. That's what you paid. You bought a 1.5 kilowatt wind turbine, you know, and
actually, you're missing something, though, because when it drops to that low of a level, because of the resistance built into the system, the blades don't even turn at all. They just stop.
Right. Yeah, you get down around
0 watts.
You get down closer to the RPM that it takes to create that voltage. You don't have very much voltage above the batteries, so it's not going to draw as much amp. So you're really not getting much out.
So Muddy, since you've been doing wind turbines, earlier we were talking about a crazy idea that apparently somebody's already started working on some systems like that, where essentially you're learning from nature on how a tornado is actually created by dropping the cold air over the top of the hot air and getting the circulation, the rotation, just like a regular tornado would be. Why couldn't you redesign a turbine? Because if you actually get, you're a really decent man-made tornado going, you're talking some serious speed there that you could get that turbine to cranking around. What do you think?
Yeah. I think it'd be better to have your wind turbine to turn the opposite direction as to help make sure that you don't create that vortex. I forget which direction. They go counterclockwise, don't they? A tornado?
Well, I'm not exactly sure on that, but I would sure like to do some research into it because, you know, that's how it works.
Is that the Southern Hemisphere or the Northern Hemisphere?
I did a little research on that and found that was actually not, it's not strong enough to affect something that small. It affects larger things like hurricanes, but not tornadoes or toilet bowls.
You
can't control which direction they go.
That's the actual
environment around it, around the water or the wind that you got whipping around.
Yeah,
so
it's the shape of the bowl, mate. That's what makes it spin one way or the other.
Well, the
that's sheer genius dropping cold air on top.
The cold,
Of course, it's going to make it go down. It might start spinning just like in a bathtub. Never thought of that.
The key,
simplicity is genius. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The key to making this work for everyone would be that you actually have no moving parts as far as, you don't have a fan blowing the heat in or you don't have a fan blowing the cool air in. You get it to do what it does naturally, you know, like if you bury a 30-foot culvert pipe 8 feet in the ground, it will naturally create a draft from the heat to the cold right there and push that out by itself. And the same thing can be done with the heat from like a solar heater. is that whenever the heat builds up inside there, it will actually create a draft out the opposite direction, and then one over the top of the other would create that vortex that we're talking about, just like a little mini tornado going right up in the center of a wind turbine. You see where I'm coming from?
Right.
I believe it could work.
They built one. They built a few of these. They're two models. They've got the one they like have a glass house to create the hot air below, and they have a big chimney a few hundred feet in the air. They've got those running already, demonstration units. But there's another guy, I can't think of his name, in or company in California, I think. They've actually built a small version of exactly what you're saying, and it works. And they have a little fan in there to collect the vortex, the movement of the vortex or the turbine, and it works very, very well. But I'll email you the link when I can remember the company tomorrow when I wake up and have my first coffee. But I think what America's got to do is what they did in Alaska. I did a story yesterday where up in Alaska, Kodiak Island, I don't know if I pronounced that right, they had 6,000 people relying on diesel generators, and they thought, wow, we got 70 mile an hour winds running most of the year up on top of that hill there. Let's put a windmill up. And the EPA and the government and all the authorities in America says, you can't do that. So they just said, go and get stuck. So they put three, I think they've got six 1 megawatt turbines up there now, and they're generating 96% of electricity needs. So you've got to have a bit of a go and get stuffed attitude. So they just said, well, stuff you, EPA, come and get us.
Yeah.
We're on an island here in Alaska, so you're in Washington.
I like hearing that kind of story.
And they
Well, you know, most parts of the world have caves, and you could use the caves for the cool portion.
Now, they have to run their generators.
Yeah.
It's cold. Yeah. So you've actually got to tell them to get stuffed. If enough people tell them to get stuffed, this is what's happened in Australia. Enough people have now got solar energy on their roof, and the government says, oh, we're going to change the rules. They say, we're going to vote you out of office. Because there's enough of us now. You've got to get that critical mass. And you've got to have a bit of a revolution.
Well, we need
that's the one thing the Occupy movement was able to show people, is that if you get enough people mad about something and they go down there, it doesn't take much of a voice from each person to amount to a very loud shout to stop it from happening.
Well, what do you think about a go-get-stuffed email campaign where we flood their inbox? I'm just saying.
They don't have any regulations for, so, you know, I'm going to keep my mouth quiet until somebody starts complaining about it, you know. I'm going to try to keep them from finding out.
So we can take these ideas, such as building a man-made tornado, just about in any environment out there. Even if you're in the desert, you can still get cool air out of the ground. So, you know, with that said, you know, it's something worth looking into. Mark's already said it's been done on another scale, maybe a different model or something like that, but it's another solution out there for us. What do you guys think? Don't everybody jump
like
on the microphone.
Well, I like the idea of using that for air conditioning, too.
Yeah.
You know, warm and cool the air in your house to keep it at a moderate level whenever it gets hot or cold outside.
Yep.
And you just use the electricity as an excess booster or an excess reason for doing it, you know. Kill two birds with one stone, you know.
Exactly. And
so,
the
more incentive to do it, the more likelihood it'll happen.
Well, you know, I think the folks over in the foreign nations, third world countries, got the best incentive, and maybe we need to get to the third world country portion of the deal so we can get that kind of incentive, because seems like necessity is the mother of invention, and since we've got it so good over here in America, we're not really doing what we could be doing, because, you know, why raise a garden when you can go up there and buy some perfectly good genetically altered foods from the grocery store, you know?
some frankenfruit.
Yeah.
Well, it's comfortable in America, but you've had one good change in policy. Rather than go invade other countries for your energy needs, you're now fracking the hell out of it. You've got 450,000 fracked wells now there, and your energy independence is going to be oil and gas. So they're going to destroy, down in Texas they're getting earthquakes now because of it, or they're claiming they are.
I was going to say, I'm in Oklahoma, and we just had one yesterday. Yeah. I was talking to somebody online and we both felt it 15 miles apart, so like, what's that?
It's the frack.
Yeah.
your country's you know, fracked.
what really kind of, I think, slips by people is that they're pumping things like hydrofluoric acid down into that ground, too. Where do you think it's going after they get done getting the oil out?
Goes right down into the well water.
The oil companies.
Nowhere except into the watershed.
Yeah. Well, I know all about
destroy
the
that drinking water.
We got a thing called the Brazos River Authority, and they take care of the park and everything and the water up and down there and make sure that everything looks real good. So, you know, just like everything else, you put somebody in charge, and what do? They go upstream and sell the good water to somebody out. One, then the next town drinks in what comes at the top, and they poop it out the bottom, and then it comes into the next one. Then goes all the way down until it gets down here. And what used to be the nice Brazos River is now a Brazos Creek. And I don't see no fish doing the flounder and all that, but, you know, we've had it where they crawled out of the water because there wasn't no, you know, it just got too hot, or there wasn't enough oxygen left in the water.
Right. They know there's something wrong and get out of it.
Yeah. And our water,
that's
when we come into the gate, the sign says, boil your water. Yeah. Well, I don't really do that. I sit there, I put it up in the window for a day to get the rest of the chemicals out of it that will evaporate. And then I put it through a water filter, and then it goes into my coffee pot. Comes out and I drink a lot of coffee because
you put the chemicals back in coffee.
Hey, Marty, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you drink your coffee, have you ever walked over and turned the lights off to see if maybe you could see yourself in the mirror? Yeah, I'm just saying, glowing in the dark.
Something I'm worried about
on
a daily basis.
Yeah, turn the lights off, see if I can see myself in the mirror. Yeah,
so
you
get the cat growing and vibrating to where you see the future.
Well, that's the whole thing.
You should be worried where you're living in Australia.
God,
you're right in the middle of it.
Can somebody add Dublin in? He's in Spain. I
most certainly can.
Okay.
Leave it with me.
You ain't on your laptop, are you?
No, I'm running 10 megabits a second on a half duplex on a card from like 1945 in my good computer.
So here we
I managed to get it connected.
So here we have brilliant minds from all different points of the globe, and we've got simple solutions to all different types of problems out there. And this is one of the reasons why I keep saying that I love this network. I love Awake Radio, We Roar, and No Borders, and Shazizz Radio, and all the other networks combined, and networks that are rebroadcasting, because these ideas are actually getting out there. I love YouTube to the point that, you know, we can actually go and research different ideas that other people are doing, and I would like to see a lot of ideas coming up out of Philippines. So if somebody can get them a good internet connection and some cameras over there, that would be spectacular, because these folks, like I said, necessity is the mother of invention, and they're at a point where it is a necessity for them to be able to live a decent life with some electricity. There's other portions of the world. I'd love to see somehow or another we get some satellite internet over there so we can share these ideas with them, ask them what kind of resources that they do have available, and then put our brilliant minds together and work these resources into a valid power source that can send energy, you know, to them as needed. I know it's possible. You know, I keep saying, if you can't find free electricity, you're simply not looking hard enough for it, because nature has provided everything. We've got wind, we've got solar, we've got thermal, we've got earth batteries, and it goes on and on. If you live next to a stream, you got a water wheel. If you live next to a waterfall, you got even better water wheel. You know, there's so many different options out there. We just need to get these ideas out of the closet and put them into the minds of the brilliant people around the world. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're permaculture or you're a farmer, use compost for heat.
Yep.
Put your hose up underneath it. 160-degree water, as many showers as you can take, Bubba.
So, nature even provides heat, you know? Everything you need.
Mm-hmm. that temperature, you've got to add some cold water. You're going to be dancing in that shower.
I just get frustrated because I see the potential of all these things. And like I said earlier, that pop-pop boat thing, it doesn't sound like much. It's simple technology. It's a nifty toy from the old days. But the ideas that could come out of this contest, I'm telling you, will amaze people. We're actually talking about building a full-size version that a man can ride around in. And, you know, I've been argued with over the physics of the whole thing. If you scale it up, then it's going to take, you know, a ton of heat or whatever.
It can't be scaled up.
But I think that there's a way around that.
Okay. That's what the competition could solve, because at the moment, nobody's been able to scale it up. I forget, I had to weigh like 15 tons to put out 2 horsepower or something. So the research is on the internet and on YouTube, but the competition, like you said, may inspire somebody to come up with a solution to that. Because a lot of these technologies I'm seeing, energy technologies, the problem we have with them, we can't scale them up, and we're not sure why. And that's the problem, and I think why I'm supporting the pop-pop competition is we may find a solution that somebody cracks away or comes up with an idea that we can scale it up. Because the people who've been trying to do it so far are thinking very traditionally. We need to think right outside the box.
Yeah.
And that's where I say, you know, what you're saying is correct and why I support it.
Such as this idea right here. If you look at the actual pop-pop boat itself, and some of them use like a little coil of tubing, and some of them have a little mini boiler that actually makes a little popping sound when it runs. But if you took back to the tubing portion of it, the little tubing portion works just like the regular version. Now, if you actually scaled that tubing up, you'd need a pretty wide tube to get across there, and it would take a whole lot more heat to turn that water into steam if you didn't take inside that same tube that you just scaled up and put a whole bunch of tiny little tubes with it and coil that around. So now you have essentially like a honeycomb-shaped tube that the water is all separated in there, and it wouldn't take as much heat as it would to generate the steam inside a larger tube. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, and they're the sort of solutions we're after.
Yeah.
So I think it's great. Talking about one thing, I'll only do...
And when he comes back, he'll finish that statement, boys and girls. Just one moment.
we just won't catch the part in between.
Yeah.
Am I here again?
Yeah,
here
he
is. Yay!
Hey.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you go to revolution-green, revolution-green, not revolutiongreen.com, you'll see a lot of the stuff I'm talking about. We've been really pushing it, because I think the world's reached a point now, you've been saying, is a lot of people are becoming very conscious. In the US, I'm not sure. I lived there for a while, and most people are too comfortable to be conscious of anything, or in jail. But if you're out, the rest of the world are becoming very, very conscious of everything. And so I think what you're saying is building these networks, getting the things out. And that's why we did the site. We're saying, let's get all these ideas, and let's hopefully inspire other people. So one day I might be running a story on Russ Greece and his science lab. Today I read one on a mainstream scientist working on graphene materials for more efficient batteries. So it's not just the backyard guys like us, it's the whole world. It's industry, it's the science community, it's everybody, because you know, nobody's got a monopoly on intelligence, logic, and being inventive. Or your imagination.
Right. No, we need each other.
It shouldn't be restricted. It should be everybody. And what I'm finding is, I worked at a university for 10 years, and I ran several departments, so I didn't have a degree, that people, real researchers at universities, don't give a stuff who you are, what you do, provided you can show results, provided you can show data. And what I've always found is you've always got to be honest with yourself. And when I go and evaluate technologies in Africa, or Holland, or the US, or wherever I'm traveling in Asia, is it's no point bullshitting to yourself. You've got to really make sure.
Well, we lost him again.
I would say the thing about the Americans is that there are a lot of people that are conscious, but they've been so browbeat into believing that they just don't have any skills whatsoever, that they're not, they just become armchair activists.
And we need
to start with something small to get them used to being able to, you know, believe in themselves and their capabilities.
I agree.
Oh, so, yeah, I run like a cheerleader.
Mark, are you back?
I do my videos. I do, you know, I comment to those people like a cheerleader and all. Just basically, you know, look, that 2x4 only cost you $2.76. Cut it in half and start cutting.
Mark?
If you got a gap in it, the wind doesn't care. Yeah. So, I just say, go ahead. You really can't mess up.
I was looking at even simpler things like I've got a process I call the produce cot, which is basically, you know, make it, don't buy it.
There you go.
And you can buy a hole punch, a handheld hole punch for punching sheet metal for $30, and then punch holes in plastic sheet and whatnot made out of, you know, out of pop bottles to make buttons. And they, you know, they get something that they put on like on a bag or a shirt or whatever, and they see it works. It inspires them. I mean, the few people I've managed to get to do things like that are now, you know, remodeling their homes. They're working on setting up methane digesters and stuff like that, and they would never have done that if they hadn't gotten something to show themselves that, hey, they do have capability, they do have the intelligence to, you know, to expand and to develop their skills and their abilities.
Well, I agree.
They're not couch potatoes, you know.
And I believe everyone has a talent, and together we can solve the problems. Mark, are you back?
Yeah, I'm going to have to come back to your show one day when I've got my internet. I thought I'd sorted it out, but I noticed one of my networks, they cut me down. I bought a new Cisco router yesterday, but I'm on wireless here. I'm not on cable, and I think in a couple of weeks I'll have it sorted out. But it drives me.
Did you say earlier that you were into material science?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
We lost. Yeah.
One of the things that I'm interested in is a lot of different metals
we're sort of doing a lot of stuff where we're polling materials and creating materials that when they're created they continuously output electricity forever, and that's an area I want to revisit. There's a couple of other areas, same temperature thermal couples is another area I'll be investigating next year. And there's a few other things. Flipping magnetic pole. If you can flip magnetic domains with very little input, you can actually get that's another. They're the three areas I love in materials research.
That's probably something we should talk about.
Do that.
That magnetic transistor that I developed. So,
Before we get too far, on the material science portion of the deal, I would be interested in a research deal on retention of heat. Like, there's different materials out there that will actually retain heat for quite some time after you heat them up. You know, there's like copper is a really good transfer of heat, but there are materials out there such as like rubber. You know, you get rubber hot, it's kind of like you know, you sit on the tire in the back of the pickup truck in the middle of summer, you know, you'll burn your biscuits, and even after the sun goes down, it still retains that heat. So these are a couple little things that could be put into, you know, the pop-pop build-off or whatever. Like the catalytic converter, for example, I can't remember if it's platinum or titanium that's inside there, but either way, once it gets hot, a catalytic converter will retain that heat for hours after you shut that vehicle off. And so you see where I'm coming from with that? There's some potential there.
The Incas used to use big rocks. They put them in the fire and just get them things real hot, and then they take them over and put them in the water and heat their water that way.
Well, these.
Well, I think instead of just retention and conduction, we should probably look more too into highly ordered graphitic layers, like they use for. You've seen those little toys where they take a little slice of graphite and they float it over top of like some magnets.
Right.
Those are actually conducting the magnetic field through the edges, and that's why the faces are diamagnetic, is because the edges are so extremely paramagnetic. Well, those materials do the same thing with heat.
Well,
the heat is very difficult to penetrate from face to face, but from edge to edge, it just goes right through.
Cultus and I were talking about a while back using bismuth to do something similar to what you're talking about.
Well,
were you guys talking about magnetic fields?
Yeah.
If I want to jump in there, what you just hit on was spot on. I saw a demonstration with the material coated with something similar to what you said. We had a copper tube and we had this tube. Put it in a hot coffee, took about a minute for the copper tube, for the heat to transfer up the tube and feel a bit of warmth. We put the other material in that was coated with a pretty much what you described. It was instantaneous. It actually, the heat moves at the speed of light. Mm. And it was 100% conductivity. It was a super...
superconductor.
It was a heat superconductor. And I thought... What's that? I've got to get your email address.
I'll make sure you two hook up after the show.
Yeah, because I will send it to you. And when the guy was demonstrating to me, I was in Australia at the time, I said, oh, this is bullshit. You know, sorry, I can't disagree. I said, this is bullshit. He said, try it. I actually burnt my hand. It was instant. He said, drop it in that coffee. Bang, instant. And it actually travels. But I'll get you the science of it. They're actually using it. They're using it now in a couple of products that...
We lost him again. It's like a banjo. I wish we had banjo music for every time he drops off. He'll be back.
Well, I can provide the thing is, all of these materials that he's talking about, they're in nature, and we can use them if we just do a little research on how the process is done. Like I said, like the water glass. With water glass and sand, or not water glass and sand, water glass and sugar, with a chemical process, it's possible to basically make that ultrasand, which is basically graphene-coated silica gel.
Cool.
Water filtration and whatnot.
I'm back. What they're using this for, they're going to coat a roofing material so your roof gets hot. But the roof's hot. How do you transfer that heat somewhere else? This actually transmitted the heat across the surface. So at the edge of the roofing material, it was bloody hot. You're collecting 80-90% of that heat being generated. So I've got to send you an article on it.
Great way to collect it for a Stirling engine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, exactly right. So that has got huge potential. Yeah, that's got huge potential because this material is real. And it's a very cheap coating, and a couple of companies in China and Asia produce it. And I know somebody who's about to build a heat engine out of it. But what it means is, just like I said, you can get a rooftop, transmit the heat, and collect it at amazing speed and efficiency. So as much heat is hitting that roof, it's getting transmitted out through the edge. So
slap solar cells on top of there and you won't block that heat at all, and it'll keep if you're drawing the heat off fast enough, it'll keep those solar cells from getting too hot too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, here's another problem.
Two forms of power off at one.
I've got to get your email address. I got about six emails I've got to send you. Sorry, I've got about six emails I've got to send you now. So. That too.
Well, this is all fascinating stuff, and we need to put these links here on Shazoo's radio so that everybody can have access to them as well. So if somebody wants to get me a list of those links as well, then I'll make sure everybody gets to see them.
No worries. And I did get Dublin in here for you, Shazoo. He's been here for about the last 10 minutes.
Oh, how you doing there, brother?
Yeah. I'm doing good. I wanted to give you a link to Brazil. They claim they have a device for that does free energy, supplies enough power to two houses. So I take that to mean about 30 kilowatts of power.
Well,
the link is there in the chat box.
Everything's worth looking into. How's life over in Spain?
Getting chilly now. Getting chilly. daytimes are okay, but nighttimes get kind of cold.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, going well. But Spain as a country is not going well, I can tell you.
I wanted to ask you about the climate on solar collection over there, because there's a lot of hype about them overtaxing people for making their own electricity if they're attached to the grid or something.
Yeah, that's right. They want to bring in a law that they... it's equivalent to saying to cyclists, because you cycle on the road and you occasionally might use your car, you have to pay for the petrol stations. It's that kind of logic. what they're saying is, because the electricity has to be brought to your house, and even though you're not using it, because most of the time you can get enough power to run everything without the electricity companies. Occasionally you have to plug in for whatever purpose, and they want to charge 10 cents per kilowatt of power that you produce. So it means that where it would have normally taken something like 8 years to pay back the cost of the solar cells, now it's going to take 20 years. But worse than that, they're making you hook into the power supply, whether you like it or not. You have to put your solar power into the power supply and then feed them the electricity, and then they sell you back your electricity at 10 cents a kilowatt. The logic being that how the electricity you're producing, it doesn't matter whether it's solar, if it's wind, solar, or any alternative form of power, including free energy, they're going to tax it. So that's where it's at.
We have something similar to that. They're calling it the ALEC program, where they're calling people who are producing their own power free riders. Like, you know, they're hitching a ride for free whenever they're actually the ones producing power and feeding it back into the grid. They're even talking about not buying it cheaply from them, but literally charging them for taking it off their hands.
You see, the problem is that they've woken up to the reality that what they're scared about is that if everybody gets off the grid, which is really technically possible now, I'm pretty sure that they already know of some devices that are coming on the market, like this one from Brazil, where you can be off the grid. So by forcing you to pay a tax per kilowatt and forcing you to put it into the grid, they're able to control you. You see, everything to do with the grid is to do with control. As long as you're on the grid, you're under their control. They can switch you off. Do you mean?
Right.
So it's got nothing to do with tax. It's just by forcing you to put the power into the grid, and then it goes back into your house, and they charge you some amount. They keep you in the tax bracket, and they keep you
control over you.
Yeah, total control.
Because they think you can make it cheaper.
Yeah, well, listen,
I think it all boils down to the fact that they're terrified of their own lack of competence and capability, so they have to control everybody else to keep from losing all the benefit they get from all the hard work that we put out.
Yeah. I read there in England that they're now producing local power in regions of the city, you know, with just big diesel generators. And by putting the hot water around the region, they're able to get better efficiency, and they're able to reduce the electricity bills by 50% or more. And, I mean, we're not talking rocket science here. It's all well-known technology that you get the hot water that's normally thrown away and you pass it around the region. But to do that, it has to be locally produced power. And
you can't do it like they did in Russia, where they wanted to pipe it 4 miles across through the Siberian winter before it gets to someone's house. Like, it was hot when it left the boiler. Is it not hot on your end where it got to the bathtub?
Yeah, that's the trouble with water. It cools down pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But there's another thing I saw there the other day, that there's a wire that you can make out of tin. If it's one molecule thick, a tin and some other metal, it'll have zero resistance. So I think it was in Gizmag I saw it. I couldn't find it in time to put up on the thing today. But it's theoretically a zero resistance wire can be made. So that could be very interesting to follow that. Tin is not a very scarce metal. It's not a very abundant metal, but it's not hyper scarce. So
hard to work with either.
Well, this is it. I mean,
that membrane cell I was talking about. If you make the electrode that's on the chlorine side from that salt, you can basically make stannous chloride out of it, which is basically tin chloride.
All right, that could be useful. Yeah. There's all sorts of things going on. By the way, there's a the new development, what's called an open source TIG welder for building for 3D. It costs about down to $500 to make. But
so,
you've been making lots of.
Let me ask you guys a question.
With a TIG man.
As I'm sitting here listening to all the brilliant ideas and all the different possibilities, I keep on going back to virtual labs. What's it going to take for us to get virtual labs up and running so that guys like us can actually get together real time via, just like we're doing here on Skype, lab to lab, and actually troubleshoot and build things that people can use around the world? What's it going to take to us to find?
I might have a very, very simple solution for that. Hey, Mark, will your web designer work for Bitcoins?
Yes, he will, actually.
Beautiful, beautiful. Hook us up, brother.
Yeah, we got two. I've got my nephew here in the Philippines. He works for Beer. And then I've got Ken who owns the website. But they do a pretty good job. They'll put the site together in no time.
Yeah, beautiful.
I've even got a server you can use for free. It's got so much capacity.
Beautiful. What we're after, I don't know if I've explained this to you before, but what we're actually after is a website. It's basically set up like, and we would have to use third-party software. We're quite aware of that. But we should be able to find something on the web to suit our purposes. But what we want is something similar to like a Google Hangouts type setup, and half a dozen of us can log into one place at one time.
That can be done.
That's what we want, brother. Just let me know how many bitcoins and.
So the idea. The idea behind it, Mark.
Hang on. Let Mark finish. This is important business.
Go ahead. Mark?
I give him the floor and he disappears.
Go through the back door.
There he is.
Sorry, not a problem. Do email to me. We'll sort it out.
Yeah,
I'll donate the server.
Alrighty, marvelous. There we go, boys and girls.
The whole idea... For those,
I just need to really focus on figuring out the mail situation so that people with one type of tool can send parts they've made to somebody else who doesn't have that tool, but they have tools at their place to finish up a project or, you know, do another step to it and circulate things around and get it all completed.
Oh, yeah. Thomas hit another key, too. Also, on this website, we want to be able to hook it up. The whole idea is so that, like, say Coltis is working on a project in his lab. Everyone who's working on that same style of project can get in there and help him troubleshoot. And then we want to have a deal, which would maybe be like a direct line to eBay or something like that. If Coltis needs a part to complete what he's working on, we can just get right online, order it, ship it out to him, and go on to the next project until he gets his materials. You see what I'm saying?
It's easy to do. That's not hard to do.
Beautiful.
Well, if we
there's a link too for a process for putting together a public workstation too, where people can come together, like a lab where people can come together and work too.
If we can accomplish this,
they've got fab labs like in Canada now. They really work well. They have retired guys, physicists, engineers.
We have one here, but it's not very effective. The people are afraid to let you do anything with the equipment. They're afraid you'll break it, and they're charging like $10, $20 an hour when you're ready to use it to run your equipment. I'm looking at more like something where it's $5 a day and you use whatever's there.
Well,
you know, if you break something, you go ahead and work on replacing it. But
well,
like most of the stuff is built there on site, so we're not having to fork out $16,000 for a new CNC mill. We just make another part and put it back together and keep going, you know?
That right there is the backbone of the Geek Group that I've told you about several times, dude.
Right.
Those
everywhere, though.
They have I think it's like a $25 a year membership fee, and you go down there whenever you want and use whatever the heck you like. You know?
That's it right there, man.
You know? I mean, and they're good. They're good. They won't... They're not going to sit down and hold your hand and teach you how to use a CNC machine. They're going to hand you the 15,000-page book and say, read it.
Right. I will say that if you look at that link I sent, though, there's more than just a lab there. So you could do classes where, you know, if you want to know how to use that CNC mill or that lathe that's there,
yeah,
just be dutiful and show up whenever there's going to be a guy there to teach you.
Yeah.
And sit down, shut your mouth, take notes, and then at the end of the class, ask questions.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So, and then you can get some hands-on, too, from mentors and whatnot and stuff like that, too.
We want to teach people how to measure stuff, because I've wasted 90% of my time over 100 international flights, and I won't tell you how many hundreds of thousands. I'm just one of many, because we go and visit people who don't know how to bloody measure things properly.
Yeah.
You know, and that's very important. If you're making a claim or you think you're seeing... And you know what's really sad? There's one guy last year, 27 years he'd been working on this device, and I pointed out that he was measuring it wrong. He didn't know how to... He was using the wrong sort of meter. And, you know, the poor guy's life works out the door because he didn't know how to use a multimeter. So we want to have tutorials. We're running tutorials now. We want to have a help center that if an inventor comes along, they can get online and say, hey, how do I measure this? How do I know what's doing? How do I build a pony brake?
There you go.
For measuring torque. You know, there's about 20 ways you can do that.
You're getting people in here that are wanting to work on stuff like this, that are coming from the same pool of people that go to welding schools where they have to actually teach them how fractions work so that they can measure things.
Well, for those...
They don't even know how to properly use a tape measure, so how are they going to know how to use a multi-tester or an oscilloscope?
For those listeners out there that's kind of lost what we're talking about, when we talk about putting virtual labs together, we're talking about bringing brilliant minds from all over the world together to solve problems, work on projects together. The benefit of which is that, you know, Cultus may have the answer to one of the things that I'm doing that I've been overlooking for, you know, it may take me months to figure out what it is that Cultus could figure out in 5 seconds if he saw my lab while I was working. And so...
And he can show you live right there on the spot. You can look down on his work, even though you're half a world away, and see exactly what he's doing. You don't have to guess about what he means when he's talking or sending text. You can see it.
Yeah, exactly.
You can ask him to flip it around if there's something you don't understand of what he's doing, so you can see the other side of whatever it is and have a look at it, which actually ties into something else. We have a lot of claims on YouTube. Right. Obviously. Right. I mean, look at Cole's,
I wouldn't have as many views as I do if it wasn't for them.
Right. Here's the thing that I'm looking at. What if we could put a standard together where if you want to make a claim on a static YouTube video, that means you can't actually interact with the video. You just watch it.
Yep.
You have to back it up the live feed somewhere.
Exactly.
Well, that's the whole purpose.
We can have you move the table out from underneath it, make sure it's flipped over. We can look to make sure there's no batteries, no hidden wires, none of that.
Well, I agree. We try to push this to the global breakthrough energy movement. And Holland, I said, there's one thing we need is a set of standards and a way of evaluating things and having the right people qualified to evaluate. It's no good getting... I shouldn't mention names. No good getting Sterling Allen, for instance, to do an oscilloscope measurement. Okay, seriously. I mean, he still doesn't understand that energy or power is volts and amps. It's not just volts. But I shouldn't use him as a name. Okay.
Well, I'm willing to open my lab 24/7 if we can get this thing up and running. Open my lab up 24/7 because I talk about anomalies that happen when I'm doing certain things. That if they were seen real time, that people could understand what I'm talking about. And so, you know, no hidden wires kind of thing. I like that. I love that idea because I want people to understand that what I'm saying can be done. You see where I'm coming from?
Right. The easy way to explain what I'm talking about is that the YouTube video is an interest video. It gets you interested in what somebody has to say.
I have a perfect example for you, Tom. Actually, This only just happened a couple of weeks ago, mate.
Verification.
Yeah, hang on.
A verification video, you know?
We had an issue a couple of weeks ago where Shaziz released a video.
Uh-huh. Remember
this Shaziz?
Yep.
And he entitled it Death Ray with a question mark next to it. Alright, very important question mark. And reading the description, you get the full understanding that it was a theoretical video. Alright? But yet someone misinterpreted it and pulled him up on it because they thought that there was some manipulation in the audio. Now this is a perfect event This is where, if Virtual Labs was up and running, Shaziz could have done that in real time.
Right.
And we would have had the anomaly come straight through, you know, and we've got to say, disconnect it now. Stand over that side and do it.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
exactly that. And then no one could have disputed it.
And see,
we did that with Rosemary Annesley. We got a really qualified guy to come on live using a Hangouts with a worldwide audience watching through YouTube, and we're able to evaluate live. There's no tomfoolery. It was just done. But the other thing you're going to tap into, there are hundreds, if not thousands, retired engineers, scientists, physicists, and all the rest.
And, of course, all those guys are going to come on board and donate their time.
Well, see, the event that
some of them will if they can get away from all the fraudster nonsense, which if we put this verification process together, that will force them out of the picture.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The event that he was talking about on the death ray video was when my audio started jacking up on there. Well, what I explained in the video was that this particular coil had a capacitor layer in there, and it actually stores a charge even after you shut it off. So there's still some energy being produced by that thing. And since I had it aimed right directly at the camera, that's when it started messing with my audio in there. But like you said, on a live event, you can see, you know, whenever I'm doing a video, you know, I gotta edit to the best way I can, but it hasn't been manipulated or anything like that. It basically started occurring before I actually clicked the mouse to turn the video on. It started messing with the video, but I didn't do anything to it other than what, you know, you see in the video, just turning the thing on, turning it off, and facing it towards the camera, and it's still sending out enough of a signal that it basically interrupted my so it sounds like I'm talking in slow motion on the thing. I thought it was funny, so I left it in, and somebody called me on it.
Right.
Yeah, and being that it, like, because your explanation of a capacitance layer, you and I have discussed this, without an AC fluctuation, you've got a standing wave. So there was something else even more going on in that scenario that was totally unexplained.
Yeah, and it could have been something.
I could be wrong on that. Anyone jump in and correct me, but I'm pretty sure that's what happens.
It could have been something as simple.
When you pull the power of that coil real quickly, obviously the capacitor layer is going to experience the collapse of that electromagnetic field and discharge its power then too, and you get a second electromagnetic field that collapses too.
Right, and being internal, who knows, like it could be resonating very slightly, you know.
It's going to generate in the coil, and then the coil is going to feedback onto it. So
exactly.
To be able to do a live event such as Virtual Labs to where we can actually sit there and watch this actually occur, you know, because while it wasn't facing the camera, you can see in the video it does disrupt the monitor, so it is directional like I said it was. And then so whenever I turned it around and it was actually facing the camera, cameras are a lot more sensitive than, you know, that monitor across the deal, obviously. And so, you know, it affected my audio and the thing. So with Virtual Lab situation, you know, there wouldn't be no questions. You could see it real time, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
we definitely need that verification step. So
yeah, we need to put together a standard for that. I think a few of us should get together during the week and start brainstorming ideas on this and really put some effort into it.
Right.
Well, there is a set of standards being developed now. There's a couple of movements, and a few other people I know are actually putting a set of standards. It's sort of like a vetting standard. So if you're claiming this, it needs to go through this step, this step, this step. Not too onerous, but just making sure.
Yeah.
Say if you're reinventing the wheel, you might want to join that effort, and they're doing it. So if it needs electrical measurement, a mechanical measurement, a chemical test, or whatever it is, they're putting those out. And it's not just the physical test or the voltage or anything. It's also experience. Like, I can walk in a room and be claiming a self-running genset, you know, hydrogen. I can tell you the 20 tricks they use to fool you. Because we've seen them. We've physically seen them. We've traveled the world. Or if they're running a whatever they're claiming, we can show you where they're measuring it wrong or how they got fooled.
Yeah. It sounds like you're a Houdini of free energy instead of seances and supernatural stuff.
Well, what
that was his thing was he debunked a lot of stuff because he knew how all of those tricks from being a magician.
What I like about this whole deal
is you've seen the inside and outside,
It's true. It's true. In fact, half the people I see, I said, you should be running an act in Vegas. They're the dishonest ones, but a lot of it is innocence. A lot of them is they don't know that if you're trying to measure a pulsed DC current or a pulsed AC current, you can't use this sort of a voltmeter. You know, you need a buddy scope, or you need this, or you need that. It's innocence. But a lot of them, the scams, like, they normally pour alcohol in the hydrogen unit, or they coat the plates with a hydrocarbon, or they sneak a little sheet of aluminium in the system somewhere. Oh, we've seen everything. We've seen every scam. And I hate to say this, but there are a lot of scammers out there. Well, I spent 3 weeks with John Rona once. I won't tell you some of his tricks he used.
I want to see this for one main reason, is that when I'm doing my research, my time is valuable. I would like somebody to say, hey, look, you know, you're measuring that wrong, and so that I don't waste my time going down the wrong rabbit hole. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Right, yeah. The honest people are going to benefit from this immensely. The honest people are the ones who are going to benefit.
Yeah, I want to see...
This will hopefully bring about another era. Like, these people were, you know, they try to do something and they fail at it, so they make a fake video and make it look like they did it. Make it more valuable for them to show us their mistake.
Yeah.
So that we can learn from the mistake and not follow down that same path. Don't do what they did, you know?
Yeah, it's funny, too, though. I watch all these videos on all these different alternative deals, and even in the time where they're actually jacking around and trying to fool somebody, sometimes they stumble onto something that they overlooked. And that's another reason why I would like to have more eyes looking in my lab at any given time, is because there might be something that I overlook that somebody could, hey, look, man, why don't you hook that one deal over there to that and then try it again. You see where I'm coming from?
Yep.
Right.
The benefits are just, they're just mind-boggling.
So you're gonna record video 24/7, right?
I would leave my camera up 24/7.
I was gonna say I don't think it needs to be recorded, but I think it should be broadcast. If anybody wants to capture it and record it, that'd be fine. In fact, that'd be a good idea if somebody's willing to do it.
Yeah,
you know.
If I had a project,
so it can be reviewed later.
If I had a project that I was working on that I wanted to, like, if I made a claim that this thing will run for so many hours without any fuel, I could leave my camera on 24/7 and see how long it runs. People can time it out. They can do, you know, experiments or whatever.
Check any time of the day or night from all around the world. So, you know, at some point, every moment of that time, somebody's going to be looking in.
Yeah.
So if you were doing something, somebody would catch you.
Like the
if no one says they caught you, then obviously you're legit, you know?
Yeah.
Well, some things you have to do physically. Like, one of the big things where people get scared, if they're saying we've got a self-running gen set and it's running on hydrogen or water, whatever it is, they run for cover if they know what they're talking about, as soon as we said we're going to measure the hydrocarbons out of the exhaust. You should see them up for the hills. We've busted so many with that. And the ones
who... Well, I'm sick today. You can't come today.
That's happened. I flew a physicist to Africa last year. It was a friend of mine sponsored it. A 16-hour flight each way, and we got there. And when the inventor saw the equipment, the company that was sponsoring him were legitimate. But when the inventor saw the equipment, we knew he knew his game was up. We were packed up and put on the next plane out, threatening of being put in jail. This is a usual event, but we knew what was wrong. And then the company said, can you predict what will happen? And I told them exactly what would happen. And a month later, they wrote to me and said, you're dead right. You want to be a consultant?
Yeah. I wonder. You to consult for them from now on instead of...
Well, you know, this is a great deal we got going on, because here we're pulling resources from all different points of the globe to actually put this thing together. And if we actually get virtual labs up and running, I'm telling you, everyone's going to benefit, because, you know, like I said, you know, time is the key right there. If it takes me 6 months to figure out something that you guys could have pointed out in 15 minutes, that's worth its weight in gold as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, that puts you weeks ahead on your research.
Yeah, and you know, if we're got to save the environment, by gosh, then we need to get to get, we need to get on. We've been talking about this for years, and everybody's been trying to do
the environment. The environment's not in a big hurry to be saved, but it our ability to survive in it is.
Well, I agree with
you. We need to hurry. We need to hurry because it's our environment. We're screwing up to where we can't live in it anymore.
In the long term, nature's in control. That's fact. Nobody can dispute that. But what I'm saying is, like the old fishbowl scenario, you know, you put a fish in a fishbowl. If somebody doesn't come in there and clean the water once in a while, the water gets so acidic it burns the gills of the fish and the fish dies. Well, we're doing that to ourselves on a local level. Right. You know, you get out there like, well, I live out in the country. I breathe fresh air while they're breathing smog down in the city. You know, there's the difference. Mm-hmm. But, you know, nature being in control, I'm not stressing over the whole, you know, polluting deal, but as a worldwide community, when we talk about saving the environment, you know, we're saving it for our future generations, our kids, or whatever, you know. We can do this. We can do this thing because we have the technology. We have access to the internet. We have access to each other's minds. By myself, I can't do it. But with you guys, there ain't nothing we can't accomplish. And it benefits everyone.
So that's what I said. We're in a political dark ages over here in America and many other countries, but the internet is our renaissance era. We just need to fully use that to bring that into the real world.
And we need to do it now.
Stop resisting the virtual world. Right. Let's bring it out now and use it.
Well, here we are tonight. We've already arranged bitcoins to be paid for a website. And that's the sort of pushing that we need, you know, the road we need to go down. Get away from the centralization.
Yes.
Buy Bitcoin. Buy Metcoin, more importantly.
Yeah, it can't be controlled.
Exactly. Who taxes it? No one.
We also need to get the word out, which we are doing to some extent, but we need to get the word out to people there on YouTube who are making claims of alternative energy and stuff and let them know, you know, that we're going to put virtual labs together for them to have access to. There are some real researchers out there. I'm one of them. Coltus is one of them. Muddy's one of them. You know what I'm saying. But there are, you know, some fraudsters, pranksters, or whatever out there to do all kinds of crazy stuff. But we'll pick through them really fast because the minds that I've listened to here today with Mark and Coltus and everybody else, they're not going to get one over on us. You know, and we can just ship them off.
This is the light in that dirty kitchen full of cockroaches, and those cockroaches will scurry for the cracks and disappear.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, yeah, baby.
So this is going to benefit us because the skeptical eye won't be so hard on us anymore because when we do come up with good ideas, we're under the microscope. I've got thumbs down on videos that were, there wasn't nothing wrong with the video. I mean, they were perfect videos. But
drive-by thumbs down.
Yeah. So, you know,
well, that just means you got the attention of the elite. That's all.
Yeah, they don't like it. The power company don't like it because they, you know, I might hit them in a wallet. But either way, you know, I want to see where it's out there, put up or shut up, and that you know, basically says it all right there. What do you think?
Right, I'm there 100%. So
this is great.
Already,
man.
Involved.
Yep,
this is great.
Yeah, he's got his fraudster assassination videos.
Yeah, Mark's donated the server space. If I believe that was what he was about to say.
He got the funds for the web designer, so he doesn't have to work on eating air and light bulbs from the refrigerator. So
no, definitely not. We'll take good care of our web designer. That's no
okay.
Here he is. Go, Mark.
No, I'm fine. Next time we talk, I hope I get invited back sometime. I'll make sure my internet's right.
Oh, yeah.
I'll welcome back every week if you wish to attend.
That's right. You are one of the knights of the round table.
I'm not noble enough.
Yeah, you are.
I'd never join a club that had me as a member, as I said. I got a lot of travel coming up, but look, if I get on once a month, you think I'll listen to you each week, but I'll come on whenever, you know, every now and then. But I will help you. I will help, especially offline. get the emails, I'll follow up.
If anyone out there has a junkyard with some of them old direct drive motors in there, the stator motors that are in the newer style washing machines, and I'm looking to try to get 10 of those. So if somebody out there's got a junkyard next to them, it'd be profitable for you to go over and tear them apart and send me them motors.
Well, I have one. I'll
keep my eyes open. So
because one of my projects is
fine, I'm sure we can get it together.
I've watched a video where they're pulling some really massive arcs off of these things, and I've got some really good ideas for some of those. I want to get about 10 total.
Yeah.
And we got the idea if everybody had Tesla coil and ran it for about an hour, I wonder how much ozone that would make for the atmosphere.
I don't know, but it'd make me happy.
That might be a little too much. Maybe one out of every 10 people. That ought to do it.
Well, I'm expecting somebody in Australia.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
He's expecting
he was about to say something important, too. I know it.
Yeah, he's waiting to see cultists light it up. Hey, so if you look over in Australia and you happen to see like either kangaroos or drop bears running by with their hair standing on end, you know cultists is hot on the job.
he found a ley line?
Yeah.
one of those nodes?
Yep.
I'm waiting to see what happens whenever you get that portable rig going so you can go actually see if you can tap into some of that. See what happens.
Also, I got the neon sign transformers dug out and ready to mail them anytime you need them there, cultist.
Yep.
But don't everybody talk at once, radio silence. Do we need to take a tune break or something?
I've got to get to bed. It's midnight.
There he is.
What was that important thing? What was that thing you were going to say about you're waiting for something in Australia, though?
I'm sure you're going to build your pop-pop motor with a Tesla coil.
I couldn't live with myself if I didn't, could I?
All right, well...
Anyway, I've got to hit the sack. I've got an early morning call, so... thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming, mate.
Sorry about the internet.
Just before you go, do you want to spit out your webpage there and your email address for anyone who wants to contact you?
It's mine's simple. It's markdanzy@gmail.com. Just markdanzy@gmail. So... that's that, or revolution-green. It's revolution with a little bit.
So it's revolution with a hyphen, green.com. Just seeing as he dropped out there, I'll patch up the hole in the show for him. And that's how you can get in contact with Mark Dancy. And we've really enjoyed having you on the show tonight. We've covered a heck of a lot of... heck of a lot of material. It's been a fantastic night, hasn't it, Shazist?
Yeah, it's been an honor, and I'm just amazed that we keep getting better people coming in every day. I mean, we got to keep this rolling. Thanks a lot, Mark, and hope you get some good rest tonight.
No worries. I really have to go and get some sleep. I've got to be up for a very early morning call. So catch you later, fellas, and thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
All right.
It's been the highlight of my day, Bubba.
And for the rest of you guys...
See you later, fellas. And get me the email, cool. Just get me the email addresses. A few emails I've got to send out to the.
Yep, shall do, mate. Shall do. You'll get an email from me in a couple of hours.
Does everybody?
Cheers, cheers, mate.
Does everybody around around the round table like Creedence Clearwater Revival?
Love CCR, and if anyone else doesn't, they should just be quiet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to throw that on and go to a coffee break. How's that sound?
Roger that. That sounds great. I've got an empty cup here, and I've got to walk inside to go fill it. So
cool.
Bob's your uncle.
All right. Stay tuned, everybody. Peace and love.
the Turbo. All rise for King Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with King Shazam the Terrible and all the honorable knights. So we've covered a lot of ground there. What do you guys think? Where do we go from here? I'm going to throw a log in my fireplace and let you guys have the rain for a minute.
You trying to melt those snot sickles off? Yeah. So we've got a few going on here. It's been down to 4 and 9 degrees the last 2 nights, Fahrenheit.
Well, definitely.
Lucky Tom jumped in there because I was going to be all like, welcome to Christmas love song dedication hour.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, right outside right now, we got some of that notorious white global warming going on, so I need another log on the fire.
We got nothing like white global warming.
Actually, this early like this. Stick this well.
So global cooling.
Yeah.
A whole new thing to tax, dude. A whole new thing we can tax. Come on. Global cooling. It's a thing, man.
Anybody who's got his taxing for this, taxing for that, really needs to read. There's a comic an issue of Fat Freddy's Cat from Ripley's Press. You gotta the whole thing about the cockroaches being like the ones in the kitchen are like the U.S. and the ones in the living room are like the like Red China and the USSR, you know.
Yeah.
Basically, they just really lay into the government of those two factions and how they treat each other, you know, and how they treat their populace too.
Okay.
Which isn't too far off, even though they're, you know, cockroaches.
Yeah.
Well,
that's,
you know,
us.
On the whole tax and the global warming issue, or the global cooling issue, if they start taxing my frozen cojones, I'm going to be hacked off. Well, you know, I'm just saying that they've tried it on everything else. They want to tax you to collect rainwater. They want to tax you to breathe. They want to tax you for everything under the sun. They wanted to make it illegal for you to grow your own garden and trade food with your neighbors. So, you know, with that said, it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't try to tax them.
Did you see the little thing where there was a politician up in Seattle that made a joke about how they were trying to tax all these people so hard over all these ridiculous things? He said, well, what about these cyclists? I mean, they're contributing to the global warming problem by all that carbon dioxide they're breathing out from breathing heavy from all that cycling.
Yeah.
And the other politicians actually took it seriously. They're like, yeah, let's tax them over that. We'll fix this problem real quick. Make them get back in those cars so they'll stop breathing so heavy. They're putting out all that carbon dioxide.
So what are you going to have to do now? You're going to have to breathe into a paper bag while you're cycling?
I don't know, man. He had to come out, make a very public statement, and apologize for the fact that the other politicians didn't understand sarcasm.
Unbelievable.
Well, that just...
Welcome to the world we live in.
That's just proof of the mentality of the supposed rulers of the free nation out there whenever they can't even understand basic science, you know. I duct tape a paper bag to my face and I go out on a bike ride, mile bike ride. I'm not going to make that whole mile before I hyperventilate and land on my face, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
But I ain't paying no taxes to ride my bike. So what do you do with that?
Well, that's the thing, though. If they're going to put those black boxes on cars so that they can still tax you the way they tax you for gas, for, you know, basically they know how much gas it takes to go a mile and how heavy the vehicle is and all that. So they're getting their money to fix the roads according to their logic by putting that tax on the gasoline. But how do you tax somebody for the electricity they're running through a Tesla?
Well, I think the real question is, what do you do when you run out of ways to tax the people?
Oh, they'll never run out. Trust me. They'll always come up with a new way to do that. It's that it goes back to that old adage. There are two things that are the most prominent in our universe The largest quantities of two items are hydrogen and stupidity is only limited, only exists in less quantities than hydrogen because it's limited to Earth.
Man. So no wonder the aliens come down here with their bug eyes and look at us and peel out.
I'm sure they're not sitting out there basically tapping our stupidity and making free energy out of it.
They probably could. They probably figured out a way to do it.
You've seen the zombie apocalypse scenario that people are throwing, their solution they're throwing together, where they're putting generators on treadmills around the outside of the house.
Well, yeah.
While there's all the water trying to get in, they're making the treadmill go and generating all the power they need, and they still don't get in.
If you got a hyperactive kid, don't put him on Ritalin. Put him on a treadmill or one of those little... like the dude with the, what do you call them doggone little mice-looking thing? Gerbil ball. Hamster ball.
Yeah.
Get him to
put him on a merry-go-round.
Yeah, there you go. Get him to generate some electricity with all that energy. He'll wear it off and sleep good at night.
the merry-go-round, so that while the kids are out there playing, they'd be generating electricity to run some of their equipment for the playground off of.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. I mean, kids are full of energy, so
either
you
way,
burn it out of them so they'll go to bed at night.
Yeah, there's some simple solutions right there. I was always talking about the building an electric car that could recharge itself. And if you really seriously think about the concept of having a car recharge itself, look at all the wasted actions that are going on in a car. You know, you got four wheels that are turning at all times. You got wind blowing through there. You got heat from the sun, solar from the sun. There's so many different possibilities to put juice back into that system. It's just crazy. So why ain't we doing it?
Well, again, it's the old adage of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The only time they're willing to do that is when their job's at stake.
Well,
they're willing to fix it. It works perfectly fine if they need to make another dollar off of their... they're late, you know, off of basically someone's labor, but they're not willing to fix something that they're still making money off of.
I say we put
even
their
if it is a terrible idea.
I say we put their jobs at stake.
Yeah, well, that's what I said, man. President of the United States, you want to be in charge? Okay, that's fine. But if you make a mistake, your head's on the block.
Yeah, I think on the last,
do a good job. Off with your head.
On the last nights of the round table, I think it was, we sent a royal proclamation around to all the representatives of the world, and it was a really long, lengthy, to-the-point letter that said, "You're fired!"
Yeah.
That's all we need
to
do.
I think we need to go a little further than that. There's a lot of them that need to be jailed.
Well, I agree with that, too.
You're not just fired, you are terminated.
Some of them need to be so far under the jail that they're speaking Chinese, and if they're in China, they need to be so far under the jail that they're speaking English.
Yeah.
One way or another.
I don't know. Don't we need more people for the sun? We'll just load them all up in a rocket and send them off.
Well,
be done with them.
I'll find their way back. They'd like launch the bastard straight into the sun, mate. No,
I don't know.
That's
my favorite solution here, Toby.
Somebody got their radio on because I hear myself.
Throwing people of government in the middle of a football field. We'll sit in the bleachers and watch them battle it out.
Yep.
I don't know about the whole launching them into the sun, man, because if you do that, man, it's probably going to pollute the sun or something like that. You know, they're looking for some people to go to Mars and test out the foot ground there and see what's going on. So we could ship all the representatives over to Mars and have them build a little huts and see what it's like to have to create alternative energy from what resources they have available.
You're not too far off there. I mean, you know how when you start up a saltwater tank for fish, there's some fish you buy, they're cheap and they're real sturdy. And the whole point is you're expecting them to die, but they will culture the saltwater tank so that later when you buy your expensive pretty fish, the tank is ready for them so that they have a proper environment to be in. So we'll send them all up to Mars so that they can start the process. of getting it ready to be colonized.
You know,
so, you know, that way, by the time we get there, they'll just make the compost.
And if you swim in some, if you swim in the wrong waters, you end up with leeches sucking on your neck. And if you walk down the wrong into the wrong building, you'll have politicians on your neck as well.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Well, I was gonna say the leeches aren't as bad as the politicians because at least you know they're there and what they're doing. You can get rid of them.
Yeah, at least they're honest about it. I'm here to suck your blood. Okay, get right. over with. Anyway, it's been a fascinating show, man. We've come up with a whole lot of ideas and solutions. Anybody want to take this off into a different direction? Anybody got any ideas or what?
I'm kind of thinking about the pop books again.
Yeah,
and that's and the material you said you could just paint it on there and up the heat.
Well, and yeah.
We're talking about solar power pop books. I'm saying, well, how do you take a Fresnel and focus it on down there and follow it? You know, you take more energy to hold the Fresnel instead of moving around and actuating. You get turns and all that stuff. But that's the thing I'd say, wow, that's pretty cool. You can take it all down, everything that hits it, and focus it in one spot. It's just the way you have to design it in order to get it to do that. So that's the challenge.
And that's why I was talking about materials that retain heat, you know. So if it's sitting out in just direct sunlight, like, you know, rubber will retain heat, and it'll get hotter than heck. You'll burn your biscuits on it. And with that said, are your batteries in your mic failing there, Muddy? Because you kind of sound like you're talking through a synthesizer.
That a little better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Well, I overmodulated now.
Yeah. Breaker 109? Anyway, yeah, I want to see a solar-powered pop-pop boat. I think that would be really fascinating.
Yeah, even if you have to build a bunch of little things there and then pipe all that heat on down. I don't know if you make... He says it goes through it sideways, but it won't go through the flat side.
Mark was talking
about... The graphene, the highly ordered graphite, and that's how that works.
Mark was talking about the pop-pop boat that somebody's already figured out that it can't be scaled up, but then again, we were also talking about the reason why it can't be scaled up in its exact form. Is that it may need a few modifications from the outside. So if we get these materials that could actually absorb sunlight and retain some of that heat and then transfer that heat to the copper tubing and create the same reaction, I still believe that it's possible to build one that's full size.
I don't think your idea of putting a bunch of little tubes inside a big tube is necessary. I think you could just go with the small tubes. A bunch of smaller tubes that break down from the larger tubes, so that way it's forced to go through the little tubes and gets heated up and then comes back out to be recombined in the bigger tube. And you save the big tube from, you know, for another project.
That's a possibility.
So, especially if that material that we've been talking about for concentrating the heat and drawing it in, too. Like, I think you were talking about a second ago, Muddy.
I'm sitting there thinking about taking all the... Like you see the size of what you have to use in the pop-pop boat, it works, and it's scaled. I mean, it's down to a small size. It works there. You try to get it bigger, and, man, it's going to take enormous amount of heat. Well, the thing is the distance between both of those plates that the water is in means that there's very little water, and you can make it flash steam really fast.
Yeah.
So let's take it to, like, a panel of a bunch of those and run a bunch of tubes off and send them down to the hull.
You'll have to put
a valve in one of the tubes to only let water out, so it keeps on making sure that it brings water in on the reflux.
Or build it similar.
Right. I got a question. Does it have to be steam or solar to heat this thing?
No, as long as it makes the steam.
So you can use anything. Right, so you're just using hot water. So, like, the idea that guy that used the magnets on the big aluminum disc and spun it on his router, to heat up that copper pipe, we could use an idea like that if we could actually scale that down to fit onto the boat to heat that up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Coltus has something similar to that, but he was just using direct battery across it.
Yeah. We're trying to stay away from batteries, though, right?
Well,
you almost got shot with a bunch of hot water, too, and it boom.
you can use batteries. We just want to make sure that it stays as close to the actual design of the pop-pop, but, you know, throwing some extra stuff in there is cool. You know, even a solar panel on there or whatever. If you can use that little solar panel to generate enough electricity to create induction heating somehow or whatever, you know.
So if I take three car batteries and make Chantilly gas to make the, that, what, 5 liters per second, and burn that off on the bottom of it, we're good to go, right?
You just don't want fish floating up behind the boat as you're going across the lake.
If you do, make sure you get the net out.
Yeah. And I think the conservation department might frown on your new way of fishing.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, these are not only...
That's not like dynamite where you can light a stick and hand it and say, hey, are we going to talk or are you going to fish?
I not only caught these fish, but I cooked them at the same time.
Okay, guys, I'm just going to read out of the paperwork that Shaziz and I put together for the pop-pop competition, just to put the rules into perspective, okay? There is two categories. These two categories being the first, the heaviest, fastest self-propelled boat. Second category being most energy generated by way of EMF driven by a pop-pop engine or boat. Now, there will be first, second and third place prizes for both categories. The main focus for me in this is I would like to see someone develop a set of coils or diaphragm style engine that is able to move itself and a fully grown man. Pipe dream, maybe, but there is nothing wrong with that. And it's exactly as we were discussing with Mark and Chaziz just before. That's exactly what this competition is about, is trying to get past the physics and come up with another way around it. So,
Where there's a wheel, there's a way, brother.
Yep, main point is to have fun and share your experience. Alright?
And use as much recycled as possible.
What you use is up to you, fire, solar, electricity, but must be able to maintain a certain constant for 5 minutes. Okay. Now, Shaziz would like to see an energy-producing device or combination of both. Fat man needs voltage.
Yeah, high voltage.
Rules are simple. Must use as much recycled, reused materials as possible, and that will affect the judging.
Yep.
Majorly. If you've gone out and bought everything brand new, you are going to be frowned upon. We want the guys over in the Philippines to be able to knock these together in a day. Right? So, you need to aim for recycled, reused materials. Your entry must match one of the categories above, and it must be a clearly visible display of the entry in its working and its working components in both wet and dry conditions.
Yep.
Well, how does it work on the dry conditions to generate the steam, though?
No. It's
from the body you're in.
We want an explanation of it on dry land before it goes into water.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, if you're connecting a propeller to it after you stick it in the water, we're going to jerry.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be blatantly obvious if you got a 15-foot wake coming behind your pop-pop boat.
Yeah.
If you got your brother skiing behind it, we're going to know something's awry.
Exactly. You got a link to like what a pop-pop boat is so that people can see that?
Oh, yeah, there's a video on ShazizRadio.com there if you go on Mad Science section, I think is where I put it.
Let me just double-check that address for you to make sure you're right, Mad Science. I believe you might have put it in the virtual lab section, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's where it was, virtual labs.
Yes. Okay, so if you go to shazizradio.com/virtual-labs.html or just simply go to shazizradio.com and use the navigation bar across the top, click on virtual labs, you will find yourself on the right page. And has somebody got their player going? Because I can hear myself echo.
Yeah. Marvelous. Me too.
I don't think it's me.
Echo, echo, echo. Okay.
Whatever.
Was that you, buddy?
Yeah, it was
selling. Muddy's always the rebel of it. He's even got the rebel flag thing going on. He's got his Breaker 1-9 microphone going and keying down on us. And
wasn't me. Yeah, that's the rebel flag of the redneck world order.
Yeah. Which Muddy's the leader of.
Yeah. All right, so everybody now has the rules. Now we need to put our couple of demo models together that we've built ourselves and then put the video out and begin the contest. What do you think?
Yep, dead right, mate. That's exactly what we're aiming for.
Cool.
The competition will start on the 15th of July. The 15th of January and run through to the 15th of March. That will give people plenty of time to source material and to create their device, and it will also give us plenty of time to follow along with builds. We would like to see progression videos, most certainly. We would like to see, you know, your stage building of your pop boat if possible.
Yeah, so
we would
people
really
can learn
like
how
to see in-depth construction. But other than that, rules are rules. We only expect the we only expect it to fit these rules, and these rules will be available on shazizradio.com, cultastopweebly.com. Will also be available on all our Facebook pages and Google Plus, and you name it, it'll be out there. So should be able to find, no worries. We'll also go into a forum.
You
on the
don't
international
want to only put it on the Google Plus pages so that everybody can have Google Plus pages for all.
We want to pay.
I could do that, but that would be nice.
Sorry, Facebook, you are denied.
We want to pace the internet with it because we want this to get really big. We want people all over the world thinking outside the box and taking a simple design such as the pop or putt boat, whichever one you want to call it, and think outside the box and get those brains to doing what it is that they do best, and that's thinking.
Yep.
I'm seeing something else, though. We have a huge think tank out there of people thinking. This is a good way to get that think tank to go from being just a think tank to being a do tank.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's do something what we think, you know. Don't just be an armchair activist.
And
get out there and actually try something, even if it's something small.
Like Colt. Right?
I just want to throw out a couple of prizes there. First prize for both categories will earn you $100 worth of Bitcoins. Second place will earn you $50 worth of Bitcoins. And third place will earn you $25 worth of Bitcoins.
And we've got
that's a half coin, a quarter coin, and an eighth coin, right?
It's a point. it's actually a lot less than that because Bitcoins are worth quite a lot these days.
And there are also other prizes in there as well that we won't talk about until we actually get this contest up and running.
Yeah, because I know there's a couple of surprises floating around, and one of them's to do with Mark Dancy and putting a full-size version of the winner together or something like that. So that'll just a little teaser for you all to sort of scratch your heads and go, what do you say?
Oh, yeah.
Something very special going to happen for the first place winner of the heaviest, fastest, self-propelled pop boat.
And trust me when I say that the winners of this contest are really going to be satisfied. They're going to be happy with the prize outcome on this thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I actually know what old mate here for Ziz is donating, and you will never ever find this prize anywhere other than our pop boat competition. And the simple fact for that is that they simply just don't exist anymore.
Yep.
This happens to have a set, they will be yours.
no snotsicles. No,
plenty of snotsicles in America, mate.
Those are free.
No. This is a very, very special prize, and I'm really spewing I'm not entering because I would love them, but I'm going to miss out.
Well, maybe we can arrange something better for you, dude.
Ooh. Can a cowboy Billy baked
beans? Yeah, can a cowboy Billy baked beans?
Hey, just be careful, because I know what's happening to you, Sunshine.
That's free energy there.
Just when you get on the radio, and I tell them I'm really sorry.
Oh, man. I'm scared now.
No, you don't need to be scared. You're going to love it, but yeah, you're probably going to be sleeping in the lab for a couple of nights.
I don't doubt that, man.
What's wrong with that? I had my workshop downtown, man. I slept in there all the time.
Well, I'll tell you...
Shaziz could never be away from Bear for that long. He loves her too much.
Yeah, and if I was sleeping in the lab, I wouldn't get no sleep done because I'd be too busy working.
You're too busy with your Tesla coil.
I'd work until I was just drop dead tired, and I'd be like, well, I'm too tired to even go back to bed, so I'm just going to go ahead and throw out this... I have a couple mats. I just lay them down, go to sleep, get back up, and go right back to work.
Well, in my lab, that's not such a good idea, because if I kick in my sleep or something like that and flip the wrong switch on, I'm going to wake up with a high voltage jolt to something.
So you're going to have a high voltage fro-do?
Yeah.
So I didn't have the high voltage. I just had a 700-pound milk that I kind of used to sleep next to.
No sleeping in my lab.
Too much ozone for that.
Oh yeah.
It's the blood pumping, mate.
Besides that, it gives you enough energy to keep you rolling there.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, it looks like we're coming down to the wire, man. We're down to like the last 20 minutes of the show. So have we missed anything?
I don't think so. Mega coins are really cheap, and if anyone wants to invest in them, they should invest in them now, because they're going to go through the roof in about 6 weeks. Sorry, I had to throw that out there.
Well, say, why do you need that? Did you invest in them already?
I did.
You didn't buy them all up already?
I'm just worried about everyone else. I ran out of money, mate. Buy them. That's how many I've bought.
Oh, man.
Yep. Oh, Megatoy, mate, she's going to go to the moon.
So I think that today's been a very, very productive show. We've had Mark Dancy on there. That was an amazing honor. And we've got a lot of good nights that come in on a regular basis. And we just got to keep this ball rolling, man. These networks out there like No Borders and Awake Radio and We Roar and Shaziz Radio and all the other networks rebroadcasting out there, we're doing a good thing, because you're starting to notice a lot more people coming on board, a lot more minds open to possibilities. You know, when science tells us that we can't do something, that's all the more reason why old crazy old Shaziz wants to try it, because if they say it's not possible, I don't believe them, because you got to consider the source, man. Same guys who brought you the hole in the ozone layer are bringing you the global warming. I'm looking out my window right now, and I'm seeing a whole bunch of light, white global warming landing on the ground outside, and I'm under siege, brother.
Yeah, in a reverse fashion.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get out there with one of them global warming combating weapons, such as a snow shovel and the ever-so-popular ice scraper. And combat that evil global warming before it gets me, you know? Anybody want any of it, I can mail it to you.
I don't need any of that. I got about 4 inches of solid ice outside.
Oh, yeah. We don't have any ice yet. That's coming next month.
Yeah, you ought to see me first thing in the morning going out there with one log beating another one out of the ice.
Oh, man.
That global warming...
Fire going.
That global warming's brutal, man.
Oh, yeah.
You got to layer up before you get out there with that global warming, because if you don't layer up, man, you get frostbite. You know, you get snotsicles and your ears are biting and all that kind of stuff. You know.
Yeah, that heat terrible.
I'm telling you. You know, I'm not an Eskimo. I'm in the heartland. You know, I'm used to cruddy weather because I live in the land of misery, but come on. You know, I got to have some heat.
Where are you at now?
I'm in the heartland. I'm right dead in the center of the United States.
So you're in Kansas?
The Mighty Mo.
Well, that's not dead center.
Kansas, it is to me.
Kansas, dead center.
Hey, standing.
You're in Missouri, though?
Yeah, standing
in the Show Me State.
Yeah, standing in the point where I'm at right now. You guys are all like I'm in the center of the earth.
So I'm down in Texas.
From my point of view, I can't see over the hills and see you guys. So there you go. That's what I'm talking about. You've heard it.
That's why you got to get up on the top of the mountain.
You heard it here first from a madman.
Shit, just to remember that it was from a madman, everyone.
Oh, man. So with that said, since we're down to the last 15 minutes, and I got a good tune in line before we go on out of here, this is the time we'll go around and let everybody say their piece and all that kind of stuff, and you know, you better let Muddy go, because he's long-winded.
Peace.
That's it.
Are
you serious?
Love to everybody in the world. Many good things to you and yours. Keep smiling. Have a ball, and don't let anybody steal your energy. Doggone it,
man.
Yeah, what he said.
I took the wind out of his sail. Usually he's on there for a while. Anybody else?
Just the usual. Head over to cultus.weebly.com and suss out what's happening over there. There'll be a couple of new pages added during the week, and to any of our Australian listeners, because I know I've got a few buddies out there, and a couple of them are involved in Bitcoin. We'll be starting up a page of Bitcoin-related products and services that are available in Australia, because they're very minimal. And very sparse, but they are here, and we intend to advocate more and more with this cryptocurrency to break us all away from the centralized currency that exists currently and just eats away at that great big hole in your pocket. So, with that said, keep an eye on the website during the week, people. There will be stuff on there not just for Australians either. There will be some guru stuff on there on how to get involved in Bitcoin and Megacoin, and I'm going to put a solid effort into that, so you'll find some really, really good information on there during the week. So pop over to cultus.weebly.com and please suss all that out. And if you want any help at all getting involved in the Bitcoin world, add me on Skype, Cultus Negrand on Skype, or find me on Facebook /Desert Experimenter. You can find me in a bunch of places, and just hit me up and I will be your guru. I'll teach you everything you need to know.
Cool.
We need to get everyone out of this and get them out of the centralized banking system. Get them out of the little. I want to swear, but I can't.
I can verify it works, though.
Hey, yeah, he's Muddy. Muddy's
nice, healthy donation in Bitcoin. And boy, I've been following that, and stuck one in the bank. It came through. So yeah, we got to buy some magnets and a few things and see what we can get going. So basically, it was a rescue of the muddy mini wind turbine against the depression. Big many thanks. I can't mention names. So yeah, I'm glad to see it. Gee, what a break! Thank you very much. Bitcoin does work, and Metcoin. Yeah, he ain't just blowing a bunch of smoke at you. It's, throw $100 in Metcoin, just sit on it.
Yeah, Metcoin, MEC, which is MEC, or better known as Megacoin. You can find that at Megacoin. Hang on, I'll find this website real quick. It's megacoin.co.nz. Has absolutely nothing to do with Mega, as in the person. Alright. Or what's his name? Does he call himself .com? Kim.com or whatever he is, it has nothing to do with that fella. It's completely separate. You just head over to that website there. You can get yourself a wallet, and as Muddy said, chuck a hundred bucks in on it, and in a few weeks or a couple of months, this is a coin that is not going to go anywhere. This is hailed as Bitcoin 2.0. It fluctuates with the market. Don't panic. I rest my reputation on the fact that Megacoin will do very, very well. Cool. And that's me. You all know me. I ain't going to stick my reputation on something unless I truly believe in it.
Cool.
I truly believe in this. It's going to the moon, baby.
So what about you, Thomas?
Just looking at... I was going to say, with all that advice, the only only good advice I can think to put out there is if you're working on something and you've got a problem you can't figure out, break it down into smaller pieces, you know. You've got a chemical you can't find or you can't afford it or whatever, go hit up Wikipedia and find out how they make it, because a lot of this stuff comes from really simple places. You know, sodium hydroxide lye that's, you know, used in so many things, they make it out of salt. Mm-hmm. It just takes a battery, some water, some salt, and a paper towel, and you can make all the sodium hydroxide you need.
Yep.
You know, the same thing goes for just about everything else. You know, you
that what they were putting in here and making lights out of?
I'm not really sure what you're referring to there. it's called a chloroalkyl membrane cell. So it sounds complex, but it's really not. It's actually pretty simple. You need ether, you know, a couple drops of sulfuric acid at a time into a container of good old ethyl alcohol, like Clear Springs or Everclear, and you get all the ether you need off of that. I mean, it bubbles right up off of that. You know, there's just too many different ways to get the things that you need. You don't have to go out and spend $250 to buy a 50-gallon can of ether if you're trying to work with some chemicals or something. Just make it yourself. You know, don't fly.
Great mm-hmm. stuff, guys. We're coming down to the wire, and I want to play a good song before we roll up out of here. But with that said, getting involved, that's the key. If you got something going on out there that you've got happening that's beneficial to people out there, you can get free advertisement here on Shaziz Radio. I will put your MP3 up here and try to direct as many people to your website as possible. The key is it has to be beneficial for people out there. Alternative energy, alternative food, you know, whatever. Anything that's going to be beneficial, you're getting an open invitation for free advertisement here on ShazizRadio.com. And so, you know, with that said, thanks to all the Knights of the Round Table out here and Mark Dancy that honored us with joining us in today. And we covered a whole lot of ground. And so... we got to keep this ball rolling, and you know, stay tuned for the next night of the round table with Shaziz Mad Science. Check out Muddy Muddy Mudman's YouTube channel. Thomas, do you have a YouTube channel?
The Architect.
Okay.
All one word.
There you go.
Just look for The Architect on YouTube.
And don't forget to check out the Desert Experimenters and myself, Shaziz, on my Mad Science on YouTube there. Just type in Shaziz anywhere on Google, and 9 times out of 10 you can find me somewhere, Facebook or whatever.
That'll all pop up.
Yeah. So we got a Skype deal here going on. You can get a hold of us 24/7 pretty much. One of us will be online. And yep. So if you need resources to something, just get on here, talk to us, and we'll see what we can do, because that's what it's all about, is helping one another out. Now, since the world is kind of crazy, I got Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster. Does anybody not like that song?
That's a good song, brother.
All right, well, we're going to burn up out of here with Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster, because essentially, you know, we're going to go up against the elite, and we're going to make our world a better place, with or without them, regardless of what they like and don't like. We're going to just do it. We're not going to ask for permission. We're just going to do it. Anybody disagree with that?
Not so you're going to Danny Joe Brown us, huh?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to beg for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, peace and love, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast will be up right shortly after the show. Take care.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're all so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.